to another exciting broadcast day.
Yeah. Get it on. Woo. Gotta get it on. 866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. Good morning, Teresa Strasser.
Good morning, Adam Carolla.
Good morning, Danny Bonaducci.
Good morning, Adam Carolla, Teresa Strasser, Big Old Brian. It's good to be here.
Well, let's see where to get started. I'm going to be dispatching some advice today and a new little guidance counselor bit. We'll do our hobo power, which we haven't done in a while, unit to measure stink. And well, we got a lot of stuff going on. I wanted to talk about something. I don't know why I was talking about this yesterday. I think I was talking to my wife, and I was saying how good Teresa was and how crappy certain other morning show female voices were.
I am sent.
And I don't want to look, here's the deal with radio for anyone who's been around longer than 10 minutes. The guys are bad and the women are horrible.
Yeah.
See, guys are, as they walk around. No, not actually Heidi of Frosty, Heidi and Frank is one of the good ones. I wasn't talking about her. I was talking about other morning shows. I said to my wife, I said, that's basically like this. Most guys are 35 to 40% funnier than women. Most. And
what are you measuring that against?
I have no idea. It's just there's certain things I'm better at than my wife, and there's certain things she's better at than me. None come to mind, but I'm sure if you gave me, maybe if you locked me in a box, gave me a candle and a bunch of number two pencils and some drugs, I could come up with something over the course of a long weekend. But the point is, there are things women are better at.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's like, it's one of these things where we go like, hey, black guys are better dancers. And then someone goes, no, hey, come on, that's racist. Right. And I go, look, I'm willing to concede that there are certain things white people may do better and certain things Asians may do better and certain things men may do better and certain things short people may do better. I mean,
I'd like to find some of those. That'd be nice.
Bench press.
Limbo?
There are things that everybody has their, you know, look, here's the way I look at it. I sort of look at everyone. I think of dog breeds. Some are a little bit meaner. Some are better around kids. Some are better at hunting. Some are better at rooting. Some are better at being guard dogs. Some are better at racing. Some are faster. You know, it's that way with human beings.
Like, we're all refrain from using ethnic slurs.
We're all dogs. There's a lot of different. Danny's a rooter. A lot of different. Is there a complaining breed I could? No.
Not yet.
Wienerammer. Here's the point. The point is I look at people that way. All dogs, different breeds, some strengths, some weaknesses. Look, we all walk on all four paws, we all poop, and we all eat our food, and then there's different strengths and weaknesses amongst them. Okay. So, I think guys are probably 30, 40% funnier as a whole, in general. Most comedians are guys, most writers are guys, the lion's share. I know. Women always do this thing where it's like, well, yeah, that's because guys held us back. Right. But we didn't hold you back from doing crap you're innately good at. We only held you back for stuff you're not that good at, ironically.
And sex.
So,
because if you're really good at something that would cost me my time of sex with you, I'd hold you back.
I want you, write the great American novel later and start humming down there.
Cure cancer
later.
Or bone me.
Right.
Yeah.
Although, I don't know about the cancer thing, Dan. You may want to get on that.
Yeah, I mean, that could be important to you.
You know, where I can't breathe at all in those commercials that say, make sure your doctor says you're in healthy enough condition to have sex.
Yeah.
That's when the bitch can start curing cancer.
I said to, my wife, I said, you know, Teresa is really just better. And like we were saying earlier, most guys on the radio are horrible. And, I mean, comedically.
Yeah.
Comedically, it's like, Lycus is going to get mad at me because Bald Brian played that drop. No, here's how radio works. I will give you my very fair assessment of radio. You guys who've been in radio, and Danny for many years, you stop me if I'm wrong. or if you disagree.
Okay.
And Danny will do that. Danny will play devil's advocate, or he'll just be honest. Either way. The folks that are funny usually don't end up in radio. There are folks that are provocative, interesting, and articulate on the AM side. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of political guys who do political radio on the left, mostly on the right. These guys are super smart, devour information, can access it. Immediately, you would not want to get into an argument with one of these guys.
On their subject, for sure.
Certainly on the field, in the field of politics or whatever it is they thought their strengths were. And those guys are good. It's a separate thing. They're almost like curators at some museum or something. It's even hard to figure out whether they're smart or not. They just know so much about.
You don't know.
You don't know, but they're very good at forming thoughts and providing arguments and counterpoints and that kind of stuff. But on the FM side of the dial, not a lot of funny for the most part. There's not a lot of guys that I would say, wow, that guy's really funny. Usually you can tell because when a guy's been doing radio for 20 years at the same station, well, he's just not a ball of talent because he would have moved on to doing features, writing books, writing movies, writing sitcoms, acting, producing. You just don't take great big balls of comedy and keep them in one crappy radio station for 20 years. That's why the Chris Rocks of the world, or the you fill in the blank, Adam Sandler, whoever your favorite is they never do radio. They don't. And if they did, they did it for 10 minutes and they got out of it immediately to bigger and better things with better paydays and better looking chicks and nicer cars. That's sort of radio. Radio is the guys that are funny, but like funny who you work with, not professional funny, not real funny.
I would agree with you completely.
Now, over the years, they can craft their act so you don't know they're not really that funny. They throw out the time all the time. They shoot to the weather all the time. Bits and pieces, little quick hits. So you don't find out how untalented they are. How little they have in the comedy tank. Because if you just pull a mic in front of them and have them talk for 20 minutes, you will realize just how stupid these guys are and just how untalented these guys are. To me, that's radio. Thus, you get, it's 6:07, that's 7 after 6, that's 53 away from the top of the hour. We got traffic and news coming up. We got to go to a break.
And then we're going to spin a record.
And then we're going to spin a record.
Just up 16 minutes.
Yeah, you throw in some celebrity birthdays. It's almost time to get a coffee and go home.
I believe it's Earth Day. But the point is, how dare
Great.
You?
Now they're going to be
now
mad
Now they're going to be pissed. All right. Point is you keep things moving because you have marginal talents.
Right.
Now, eventually, being good at hiding your marginal talent becomes a talent. That's the greatest talent in radio. The greatest voices on the FM side of the dial are guys that are so talented and so skilled at hiding their lack of talent that you don't know that they don't have talent.
I agree with you completely. I mean, you've got me so far.
And the other thing is repetition and familiarity. And this is where it struck me, which is, I was saying to my wife last night, I said, damn, that Teresa, she's just, you know, she's, I've worked with a ton of comedians, ton of men and women, radio side. I said, she just has so much more talent. She's so much smarter and so much funnier than the average. Now, you're just average, T, but the bar is so goddamn low. And radio. Now, the bar's low on the male side of the dance floor. Wait till you get to the woman's side. Then it's just a bunch of cackling, chatty Cathys who rarely say anything of substance. And for some reason, makeup and hair seems to be a big deal, even though you're only using a microphone, and you end up with Ellen Kay and God knows who else.
Dude, and I get wasted or Rachel, and I dance.
Or Rachel Perry. And it is just scary what you're dealing with. And I brought up the name of somebody on a competing station who I know. And I said, that chick's a zero. She's a zero. I like her. She's nice. I mean, look, not everyone is engaging. Not everyone is a genius. Not everyone's a comedic genius. This chick I was talking about, I was like, she cackles. She's nice. She's bubbly. But nothing. There's nothing going on inside her brain. And my wife said, yeah, I know. But my friends, they really like her. I said, they really like her. And I said, why? What's the like? There's nothing there. And she said, yeah, I know. They're just used to them. And then I said, yeah, you know what it is. I said, tomorrow morning in about 7 hours, I'm going to drag my ass down to that kitchen. And I'm going to eat exactly what I eat every effing morning. I'm going to have two poached eggs and some rye toast with a little jam on it. And Molly will eat exactly what she eats, and I'll eat exactly what I eat. And I'll take it a step further. When the alarm goes off at 4:45, I will wake up. My first thought will be, oh, I get to eat exactly what I've eaten every day for the last 6 months. And I will happily go downstairs looking forward to the two boiled eggs and the rye toast with the jam on it. And I thought, that would not work for dinner.
No, that would not.
If I sat down last night, I had a little broiled chicken and some vegetables. If I sat down and my wife gave me broiled chicken and vegetables tonight, I'd go, no, I had this last night, but it wasn't bad. I'll eat it again. But if it showed up again on Saturday night and then on Sunday night, eventually there'd be a divorce, probably by Tuesday.
Right.
Yeah.
If not earlier, and that's
right.
Just because I couldn't get the paperwork together over the weekend. Three nights in a row, the same meal. That's like, listen, I don't care how goddamn good this food is. I've had it three nights in a row.
Yeah.
Breakfast. Damn that breakfast.
You need routine in the morning.
You need something. There's a part of your brain that says it is perfectly fine for me to eat exactly the same thing every single morning. As a matter of fact, I prefer it that way. I don't want to go downstairs and spin a wheel and have one that says hot porridge on it, another that says fresh fruit, another that says omelet on
it. You do have that, though.
I do have the wheel, but
sure.
It's filled with cobwebs and dust. Now
Jay just rides on it. And whatever fist points at is what Adam has for breakfast.
I pointed out to my wife that it's 9 foot around and taking up almost the entire kitchen, but she said it's colorful and the kids enjoy it. Mm-hmm. But the wheel of where we're going to breakfast, I wouldn't like it. I'd go down and I'd want what I wanted. And if it landed on Denver omelet, I might not want a Denver omelet.
Right.
I eat the same thing every morning. I would guess that most people, if they don't eat exactly the same thing every morning, have about the exact same routine and two or three choices on the food wheel that they consume. So then I thought, damn, that sucks. Because Teresa is five times as good as this chick, but that's their boiled eggs.
That's their very nice.
And I thought, what the hell do you do about that? And I thought, well, A, you could get there first. You could be the boiled eggs
right.
on the scene first and be there the longest. Or B, you could just wait around until eventually your good home cooking just wafts over into their kitchen. It's going to take a very long time, but eventually it'll happen. Now, I don't know if you guys have ever thought about that. I never thought about the routine part. Wait a minute. Tommy's on the line. He's from Grass Valley. I don't know where that is, but I want to go. Tommy?
Hey, how you doing, brother?
What's happening? You have something to say about our own Teresa Strasser?
Absolutely, bro. I've been a Howard Stern listener since 1984.
Mm-hmm.
Did you actually write that down? Did you go, hey, it's 1984, and there's this guy, Howard. I'm going to write this down.
Is that when he showed up in L.A.?
When you showed up, I actually got a Sirius radio for Christmas and never got around to getting the subscription because you speak to me, Adam. You absolutely do. And,
well, thanks.
That's what you said. And I listen to you every morning. I got a long commute to work every day. And you absolutely put me in the right mood.
Well, thank you, Tommy.
Ask his rodeo, I know.
And you wanted to do a heap some praise on our own Teresa Strasser.
Absolutely. Teresa, honey, you're a doll. I listen to you every morning. As far as co-hosts go, female co-hosts, there's a lot of them that just, you know, they just suck ass. And Teresa, I love you, sweetheart. You always chime in with the right thing. You don't go too far. You always have something smart to say. You don't babble. You're just awesome. So as far as female...
Better than Robin Quivers?
Absolutely.
I love Robin Quivers, but...
I do too. Absolutely, I do.
But, you know, you can tell, it's like, here's the thing, you know, with a lot of this stuff, where you see somebody on TV and you go, wow, that's a good-looking guy, or that's a good-looking woman, and then you go stand next to them and somebody you have a chance to be in their presence. Right. And then somebody says the next time they pop up, hey, there's a good looking guy. And you go, he's not that tall.
Yeah.
I've stood next to him. He's all right. But you know what? You know that there's that guy you work with, Jake? He's actually better looking than he is. This guy's better. You know what I mean? You go into someone's presence. If I've sat with Howard, as you have, and Robin, you know, 200 times. I love Robin. She's totally enthusiastic. She's totally fun. She's totally this and she's that. And they have a great chemistry and so on and so forth. And she's great at what she does. But Teresa's a funnier person than Robin.
And she's her own person. She's not your complete lackey.
Right.
Well, thank you. First of all, Adam, thank you so much for saying that. Tommy, thank you. And I will say that I listened to Howard and Robin, you know, since I was 15. And to me, Robin is the gold standard. She always takes exactly the right tone. She fits in with the guys. And I've always been a huge fan of hers. And I love Heidi, too.
But look at it this way. Who did Robin have to beat out? Do you know what I mean? She had to be wittier than Ellen Kay. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, the bar is so frighteningly low, especially on the female side of the radio dial, that someone like Robin, who just, you know, good energy, good at her job, has a good chemistry with Stern, but not like, wow, that woman's a laugh riot. I mean, you don't even think about it, how, in a way, condescending it is, because it's not like you think about Robin and go, woo, that woman is witty.
Yeah.
That woman is sharp as a tack. Man, she is fast, man. She is, the way she turns a phrase. You never even think that. That's how pathetic it is on the female side. Like, Robin is the gold standard. She's not even funny. She's just
certainly
like,
not gold.
Hey, she's the bronze standard.
If she was gold, we'd make fun of
when
gold.
When I get nervous, which when I first started this job, I would get up at 3 because I was so nervous about doing everything correctly. Then I would sit in my car in the parking lot for 20 minutes just trying to psych myself into coming in because I was terrified.
Oh, Jesus. Well, that's because Bruss comes in here.
That was just the first month, and then I got the hang of it. But the thing that helped talk myself down off the ledge, I thought, if I can just not be annoying, that's good enough.
Really? When's that going to start?
I'm waiting.
Just go ahead and implement that plan, baby.
I'm waiting.
So far, we got your funny and talented. Nobody said you weren't annoying.
All right, why not? Let's not start that on a Friday. I want to get a full week of that in. Let's start that Monday.
I hate to be so totally me, but the best part I got from that guy is that you don't suck ass. And I happen to think that that is the only thing that could possibly improve your performance if you'd get around to that.
I see. Okay. I don't even know how that's done.
Dano from Covina says Teresa's most intelligent hot chick on radio.
I agree.
All right. We need to take ourselves a break. So listen. All you that have been eating sticky buns for the last 20 years, it's time to come on over and see what we got going in our skillet. Maybe the Scrabble. I know it's not Scrabble, but it is Scrabble at this one place in Burbank. Uh-huh. you know, take the beef and you take the called Scrabble at one restaurant, but it's called Scrapple.
Scrapple's from
Scrapple,
Philly.
I grew
up on Scrapple. What in God's holy name are you blathering about?
Oh, it's one of these dishes where the guy thinks he's a genius because he's like, here's what I do. I take eggs, I take cheese, I take ground beef, I take bell pepper, I take onions, I put them in a pan, and I cook it all up. And you're like, how are you going to go wrong with that? It's like taking the 5 hottest chicks and putting them in a blender and effing whatever comes out of it. Of course you will. You can't go wrong with that. F that blender. Let's take ourselves a break. Here's what we're going to do.
I can't get over chicks in a blender. I'm sorry.
When I come back, I would like to dispense a little advice to you. Now, we would like to dispense some advice to you because I think we're almost overqualified in that department. I was saying to my wife yesterday as well, while I was singing Teresa's praises, I was just staring at my son. And I was doing my thing where I'm like, here's what you got to do. And here's what, and I thought my dad never told me an effing thing. He never told me a thing. He never said anything about here's women. I am going to do 2 months with both my kids on just the topic of zits, how to get rid of a zit, how to pop a zit, how to do a zit without making a thing, the stuff to put on a zit. I never had a conversation with my dad about a zit or a chick or a condom or a job or education. I've never anything. And I thought, God damn, I don't even know how he did it. My kid can't even talk now. I'm trying to give him sage. Put a condom on your shit, son.
If I'm going to have to double belt you into the seat, somebody wants you safe. Start wearing a condom
now.
Right.
You do give excellent advice, Adam.
I think Danny does, and I think you do as well. So 866-901-ADAM. Could be career, could be relationship. It's not a bit. It's not going to have a zippy opening, and it's not going to have a bell going off. It will just be, you know, Monday is the beginning of a new week. You want to go new direction? You thinking about doing something? Work, relationships, career, education, whatever it is. Call us. We'll give you the right answer. 866-901-ADAM.
Hey, Iceman, what's the hobo power rating on a dead hooker tied to a water heater in my basement for 2 weeks? I mean, a basement belonging to somebody else named Sec Silver. Sweet, they've fallen for my clever ruse. Silver, you genius. Did I say that out loud or was I just thinking it? Silver, out.
Thank you, Jack. Call 866-901-ADAM. This is the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, we thought we'd dispatch some real-world advice, minus the bells and the whistles and probably the entertainment value. But here's one that's very basic. It's David from Costa Mesa. He wants out of his business. David?
Yeah, what's up, Adam?
What do you do for a living?
I'm in the Carpenters Union. I'm a framer.
Good times.
Yeah.
And how old are you?
38.
Now, few questions. Do you have any kids? Are you married?
No, no kids, not married.
Mm-hmm. So here's the deal with all these plans. You can do whatever you want, whether it's I want to go backpack through Europe for 6 weeks or I want out of construction or carpenter's union. You can do any of that. But if you said I have three kids and a wife that has Epstein-Barr virus, I'd say, well, sorry, buddy. You're going to swing a hammer right. for a while. Exactly. This is why you don't crap out kids when you're young before you get established, before you even find a direction. It's not only, you know, people do that thing where they go, hey, man, you shouldn't have kids until you're a little bit further in your career. Most people have kids before they even know what their career is, yep. and thus they can't really find out what their career is, because finding out what your career is means I need to take some time, I need to go to school, I need to explore, and you can't explore when there are mouths to feed.
Can I ask, David, what is your dream job?
Well, I went to a golf academy to learn how to manage and run a golf course, and that's really what I wanted to do. But I got hooked up in the union and made it through the apprenticeship program. Now I'm making so much money that it's hard.
Golden handcuffs, Adam, or are they another medal?
Well, so much money is... $27 an hour plus benefits, right?
Pretty close, yeah, 35.
Ooh, not bad.
That's not bad.
Damn, better hang on to that job with both hands. Look, this is the other problem. This is why I always scream about rent control. People love rent control. Hey, man, I got an apartment by the beach. It's $695 a month. It would normally cost $3,000. You show me that guy, I'll show you a lifelong renter.
Right.
I'll say to that guy when he's 25, hey, you want to go in on a condo? No way. I got rent control. Well, you'll find that same guy 35 and 45 and go, hey, man, how about you buy a house in the valley? And they go, I'm living by the beach for $690. You're dying by the beach for $695 a month because his rent control has hobbled you. This is what welfare does. This is what rent control does. This is what getting paid $35 an hour for a job where you could get most people for $14 to $17 an hour to do. You can't walk away, and thus you don't. You end up dying there. So first thing you need to know, and this is anyone who's listening, not just young David from Costa Mesa, is not so young anymore, is you have to be able to, all this stuff requires sacrifice. It involves you turning your back on some money, and it means getting away from something that's cushy and something that's easy. You are going to pay the price so that you can have a payday down the road. I have found, and this is my blanket advice, and Danny and T, you tell me what you think of this.
What?
It's something that was never told to me. It was always who you know or how do you get in or all that stuff. you get yourself into a business, meaning if you want to get into radio, you get in and start answering a phone or driving a van. Mm-hmm. You want to get into the golf course, the running, the maintenance, the what have you of a golf course, you drive that cart around that picks up the balls on the driving range. You do anything. But whatever it is you do it so goddamn well that people start to notice. And people do. You're talking to a guy who was a boss for many years, working on many TV shows, that worked in buildings that had 70 employees. We knew the good ones and we knew the bad ones. Yeah. They didn't think we knew the good ones and the bad ones. They didn't even think we knew their name. And as a matter of fact, sometimes we didn't even know their name.
You don't have to know their name.
It would just have this conversation at the end of the year in the man show. It'd be like, we're going to need some new APs next year. Who do you like? Hey, man, you know that one intern? The guy's kind of... He's kind of skinny and fat. That guy with the hair, weird haircut, and then someone shout out his name, Kirk. And you go, yeah.
That guy.
That guy's good. Yeah. And then everyone looks at each other and goes, yeah, I know. That guy's sharp. And then the next thing you know, that guy's AP. Now, the other people have no idea why. They got passed over. They didn't think we noticed him. People notice. We notice around here. They'll notice at every job. It's the boss's job to notice. It's also his job to pretend like he doesn't notice.
Right. I think that's basically true.
So he notices, just like he knows the hot chick who works there and kind of pretends like he doesn't notice.
Damn right.
He notices.
Run into that one a couple times.
Go to where the business is that you want to get into. I would not recommend schooling unless you need an engineering degree to whatever. Obviously, you can't just say, I want to be an attorney. I'm going to show up at the law offices and start waxing the floor, and eventually they'll make me partner. But go to that place. Get any job you can. Get in any way you can at that place. And believe me, it's a pay cut, and it may be humbling, but get in and then start kicking ass at it. Not with your mouth. Not trying to talk people into how good you are, just doing it. As a matter of fact, don't even talk for the first 6 months.
That's probably smart.
Don't be there. Don't let them think you're there trying to chat them up and talk your way into a better position. Just start kicking ass and let them talk about you. They won't say it at first to you. They'll talk about you when you're not there.
Yeah, perfect example is our phone screener, Kyle, who you barely heard speak for his first few months here. But immediately, we knew he was a great employee, and we all loved him. Now he's on to Kimmel, and I'm sure they already love him there.
And the thing about Kyle, and this is the real lesson for all the kiddies. Kyle, when our vacation came around about a year ago, I want to go shoot a movie. And I said to my assistant, Lindsay, what are you going to be doing for the next few weeks? And she said, I'm going on vacation. And she split. And I said, all right, noted. And then Kyle jumped in and said, I'm not doing anything for the next 2 weeks. Right. I know you don't know me. I'm just a phone guy, or I'm just the intern guy, or the whatever guy, but I'll be your assistant. And I said, thanks. And he said, I'll do it for free. And I said, well, that's kind of you. And I didn't say anything to him at the time. Of course, I paid him at the end of the 2 weeks. It gave him a decent chunk of change, which maybe Lindsay could have paid him. But the point is, I paid Kyle. And then it was noted. He didn't put his hand out. He volunteered. He stepped up. Well, it's been a year. Lindsay is, I don't know where. And Kyle has moved past us, and he's working full-time over at Jimmy.
Yeah.
Now, look, sometimes it takes a little more time than that, but you get the point, right, people?
Well, so young, not-so-young David tried to get some kind of job at a golf course, get there, and just kick ass at whatever they ask him to do.
That is the universal for almost everything. Now, let's see. Should I get in the medical? God, wife? What do you want, line five? Guy's a professional football player, David?
Yeah, how you doing?
What's happening, David?
Man, I got, you know, the series, the Beyond the Glory series that they do with the football players, boxers, whatnot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, mine pretty much, mine could crap on any of theirs pretty much.
By the way, it's a series, I think it's on Fox Sports West.
Yeah.
Great series. They'll do Sugar Ray Leonard. They'll do all these guys, and you'll see the highs and lows in everyone's career, even the Hall of Fame career, especially in the Hall of Fame career. These ones where you think, God, everything this guy's touched has turned to gold for the last 20 years. Oh, no.
Right.
It's behind the music for athletes.
It's behind
the
music.
Well, David,
the top story on those is they get into real estate or car dealerships.
Right, yes.
That's the best.
It's not much you can do after you've been a professional athlete at a certain level, right, David?
At worst, they usually sell coke.
David?
You retire. Well, basically, you know, I played major college football. I transferred schools, which, you know, Adam, that'll kill you as far as recruiting, you know, for the NFL, whatnot, professional football.
D1?
Didn't hurt Troy Aikman.
What's that?
Were you D1? What school? Right,
Brian got a nice inside laugh out of my Troy Aikman.
I finished over in Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right.
Good school.
I'm from SoCal. Anyway, situation is I work full-time right now. I'm in construction. I got a good little gig. I'm an inspector, whatnot. Mm. There's not much labor. I've done a lot of labor on the side, though. I work full-time 40, 50 hours a week, but I'm also still a free agent, so I'm training. You know, I come off 3 hours of L.A. traffic, whatnot. It could be late, but I still get home. I run, whether it's midnight, whatever I got to do to keep training. Done this for 2 years. Each time I've gotten closer, I train 3 days a week in the offseason. The biggest names you can think of as far as my position, whatnot, and they all tell me the same thing. You just got to be in the right place, right time, or you got to know the right people, because it's really not, you know, like any entertainment. It's a lot of money. It's who you know, how you know them kind of thing, it seems like. And
well, but wait a second. What is your position?
Yeah. Receiver and corner.
Receiver and corner.
Yeah. I'm not calling in to hype you up. I mean, 6'1", 200, so I got really good size for a corner.
Is that a good size for a corner? Yeah.
It's good for a corner. Although the thing about corners are they don't seem to care how big they are. They haven't gotten bigger over the years. They've probably gotten a little bit smaller over the years, because they're looking for just coverage guys.
They're looking for coverage guys, but the thing is, as well, is the receivers are getting so monstrous that they got to have some big corners.
Well, they are getting bigger. That is
right.
True. But all the greatest ones were never really very big. I mean, most of them, Darryl Green and Deion Sanders and guys like that.
Are you fast?
I'm a little lost on what the question is.
Yeah, though. I don't know what the question is either.
The question is this. How long do I go on? Because, you know, like you were just saying to your earlier caller, I do got a wife and a little guy at home. How long should I keep going both? Because
well, how many times suffer. Have you ever gone to camp?
Yeah, I've been to a couple camps. As far as there were open camps.
All right, hang on a second. See, David has a rap. Hey, man, I'm white. I got a strike against me. Hey, man, you know, this and that, you know, it's who you know and all that crap. These guys that coach, evaluate, own teams, manage teams, all they do is try to evaluate talent. Right. That's all they do.
And all they should do.
It's all they should do. Their jobs depend on it.
Right.
All the coaches depend on you cut the next all-star and you're not going to last very long in the NFL. Coaching. That's all they do is stare at people. Now, you can say, and we've all had it happen, some program director in the past didn't think I was funny. I had guys when me and Jimmy worked together saying, you guys shouldn't work together. I had guys pull me aside and say, Kimmel's a behind the scenes guy. He's not behind the mic. He's not talent. He's a producer. Things like that. They're wrong all the time, but they don't have stopwatches to measure funny.
Right.
These guys have stopwatches. They have bench presses. They have sleds you push around. They have drills. They have shuttle drills, and it's pretty much like this. If you run a 4.440, you're in. If you run a 4.840,
you're out. That's why I'm curious about this guy's speed.
If you bench, you know, you take up 225 and you pump it up 25 times, you're in. If you pump it up 9 times, you're out.
Right. Fair enough.
They get to measure your vertical leap. They measure everything. So this is the one place where, yeah, I can say my program director from 15 years ago just didn't get me. And maybe I'm right.
Yeah.
But that stopwatch just didn't get you?
Yeah.
The vertical?
So basically,
leap just didn't get you?
For this young gentleman, it's a mathematical problem.
Yeah,
if he does the equation, he's in.
What's his time?
And mixing that with kicking ass on the field.
The
now,
yeah.
Obviously, he's not done enough ass kicking on the field to impress whoever it was who was looking at him, David.
Yeah, well, here's the situation. It is a numbers game, but you got to realize it's not just about kicking ass on the field, because it's all about opportunity. A lot of times you're really not going to see your best players, you know, on the field. A great example of that is everyone talks about the Kurt Warner story. Oh, Kurt Warner, what a great story. He developed over time, and, you know, he became Super Bowl MVP. That's a load of crock. No one peaks at 37 and becomes a Super Bowl MVP. He was always that good. Some douchebag just finally gave him a shot by the time he was 37, 38.
Well, there's a lot of guys. guys, there's a lot of guys that are good. And then, and right. I don't know if I agree with that because he hasn't had good seasons since.
Well, the thing is, who has a good season when they're about to be 40 as an NFL player?
He wasn't that old when he won his Super Bowl with the Rams.
I think he was 35, 36.
I'll probably go 34, 35.
Is he the guy that was bagging groceries?
Yeah, he was playing arena. He was playing arena league. He was playing professionally.
Right.
And he was born again, so he had God on his side. And a wife with a buzz cut who loved God more than he did. Listen, David, here's all I'm saying. You have a lot of theories about why you're not playing in the NFL.
Okay.
You can have one more tryout and one more season, but eventually you better get realistic. You have kids. You have a family. Right. And the NFL, for you, even if you made a team, is at best average 3.5 years for you. So by 4 years from now, you're still going to be looking for a way to keep yourself busy for the next 35 years.
Right. Absolutely.
I would say focus on that now because there's one dream you're hanging on to, which may not come to fruition, that is going to keep you busy for 2 to 4 years.
It was fake said most likely won't come to fruition. The chances are 1,000,000 to 1.
And if it does, it will keep you busy for the next 4 years at best. There's the next 35 years to figure out what you want to do with your life. I would focus on the 35-year dream. And here's an interesting thing to remind yourself of, because I have these delusional thoughts every once in a while, too. I just had one the other day. I said, damn, Ace, man, you were good at football in high school and Pop Warner and all that kind of stuff. You good, man. Maybe you could have done something somewhere. And then I thought, no. I went to L.A. Valley College and got my ass kicked when I was 19. Right. I wasn't better than those guys. I was maybe as good, but I certainly wasn't better. And if I was meant to be and if I had some sort of talent, I mean real talent to go to the next level, then I would have kicked their ass when I was 19 over at Valley College instead of getting my ass kicked or at least landing somewhere in the middle of the talent fold. And then I went, all right, and I took another swig off my red wine, and turned it back, hit the pause again, and I was watching SportsCenter, just like nothing, you know, nothing ever happened.
I've done the same thing just recently. Somebody talked to me about being on an undercard on New Year's Eve in Las Vegas on a title fight, but I would have to be sanctioned. In a real fight, I'd have to be tested. My blood would have to be tested, no headgear, 10-ounce gloves, that kind of thing, and I'm contemplating doing it, and I'll be 48.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm contemplating, because even if I lose, I will then get to say to the grandchildren, back when I was fighting pro.
Right.
Yeah.
Whether I win or lose, back when I was fighting pro. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And that, for some reason, because I missed that boat by years, I didn't get in a boxing ring until I was 30 and drunk, and then beat up Donny Osmond, and barely at that. But, you know, it gets in your head sometimes. Could I do it? Can I take it?
Yeah. It does. And I would argue that every time it does and you think, what if and what about, I really have this theory, which is, well, you didn't do it and thus you shouldn't have been doing it.
Right.
The folks that like need to sing, they sing. And the people that need to play, they play. And the fact that you've made it to 40 without doing it means you shouldn't have been doing it.
Right.
I do have a certain, you know, when it's the thing we talked about earlier this morning where people go, how come men are the politicians and building the skyscrapers and women have to stay home? Why can't women go out and do this? And I go, that's the way it turned out. So I assume that's the way it should have been. Because at a certain point, we all crawled out of the swamp about the same time.
Yep.
Eventually, a guy put a hard hat on, got some plans, and went down and started building a skyscraper. And a woman went home and started suckling with the little ones. And that's the way it turned out. It's really hard to argue. Sort of the ultimate argument is that's the way it is.
Yeah.
I'm not playing pro ball. You're not boxing. T, you're not in the ballet. That's the way it is.
And it becomes obvious.
I feel like such a failure all of a sudden. Why are you dancing ballet? I'm not fighting.
No, I think the central question is a huge one, which is when do you give up your dreams? And I think the world tells you when.
Damn, Ace, man. You were good at football in high school.
If doors start opening, you walk through them. If they start shutting, you turn
another
way.
You should know, yes.
You plie all the way through.
Casey.
That was so bad.
Casey.
Hey.
Hey.
What's your situation?
All right. Here's the deal. I went and did some time, and sure. While I was doing that, my
get that over with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In Washington.
A lot of people wait till they're charged with something. You just went ahead and did your time early, got it out of the way, and now you banked it in case you ever get into trouble.
That's exactly right.
All right.
Well, I was doing some time, and my wife, you know, she's when we got married, she was hot. I thought she was pretty hot, you know.
Sure.
And boy, when I got locked up, she just started eating. And just got fat, you know, and I love her. I don't want to say, God, you're fat, you know,
right.
'Cause that'd be kind of mean, but I guess I just need your advice on
how fat did she get? How much does she weigh?
Hey, well, I'll put it this way. It's like doing a linebacker.
Okay. How long
were
you
away, Chubby?
I love football so much, that sounds enticing to me.
No, really, serious business.
I've been Bosworth over a tackling dummy.
For those who don't know what it's like to do a tight end anymore, how big is this girl? Because I don't know what that means, really. What do you think she weighs?
Well, probably working at, like, 220.
Okay, that's a big girl, man. That's a big girl.
That's big. Here's my advice, because we got to go to break. I would say this to anybody. I used to say it to everyone on Loveline who called up who said, wow, my girlfriend's got a little odor down there. Okay, that's a tough subject to broach.
It is.
And almost every subject with a woman is tough to broach other it than is. How hot she's looking this evening.
do these jeans make my ass look fat? No. The girth of your ass makes your ass look
stuffed
fat.
Into said jeans. As a matter of fact, if you got rid of the jeans, I think your ass would look fatter because it would then kick out another 4 to 6 inches on each side.
Like C-cup stuffed into or D-cup stuffed into a C.
Right.
You take those puppies off, they leap right out at you like those googly eyes.
I approach... what happened to those? I think you should approach almost any insulting thing from a I'm concerned.
Yeah.
I used to tell people when they said my girlfriend's got a little odor going on down there, I'd say, good. Tell your girlfriend that you were listening to somebody talk on Loveline about it, and Dr. Drew seemed alarmed. He said maybe there's an infection and that you should go and get yourself checked out,
yeah.
And you come from, honey, I'm worried about you. I think you may have an infection. That way, you'll still get yelled at, but you won't get hit with a rolling pin. You come from, I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm.
If your wife has packed on 100 pounds or your husband has, you don't come from, hey, lard ass, I can barely get an erection right. around you anymore. You come from, boy, I saw this study on CNN about hypertension and heart valves and plaque in the arteries. Baby, I love you so much. I want us to be together in our 80s. I'm going to be in the joint.
You're not going to make it.
But you're not going to make it.
You're going to grab her and die.
Now, listen, for me, any size is beautiful. That's just more you,
yeah.
But it's the health. I'm worried
right.
about your health, sweetie. So let's fix the diet.
I don't
let's
care about
start
your
exercising.
Diet. I don't care about your size. It's not about me. Another way to go
right.
is, again, once again, go with Loveline and Dr. Drew, because that way everyone will be mad at him, and I like that.
Mm-hmm.
You also might want to go with this. So I'm listening to Dr. Drew. And he says if your mate starts packing on more than 10 pounds or so and really puts on weight, what has happened is they don't have the nerve and they are still in love with you, but they want out.
Mm-hmm.
They've decided they want out and they're going to push you out
mm-hmm.
by making themselves unattractive to you. Honey, you don't want to leave me, do you?
That's right.
This isn't some subtle note about wanting to get out, is it?
That
Make
is
yourself the victim.
That is great advice,
thank you.
Except for inmate Casey.
Yeah,
he may butcher that one up. He
yeah.
might be,
yeah.
honey, Dr. Jew said your fat ass was trying to push me out in the winter.
God, you're fat.
Damn it. How the hell did that one go again?
Well,
she probably did put on all of that weight because of the stress of having her husband in the slammer.
Yeah.
To be fair.
Roy DiDucci said, damn it.
So close.
Yeah. Believe me, I've tried that. I've tried this sort of interesting psychological
yeah.
turn with the listeners. And I said, all right, now repeat it back to me. And they've been like, dear lard ass, damn it. All right, we need to take ourselves a break. The Dooch Man
is going to
hop on his sickle and head over to Nicole Richie's place. We have a little, I think we have a baby basket
yeah.
for her. Now, look, We've sent him to Posh, the Posh Spice over there household, the Beckham household. We've sent him over to Paris Hilton's place. He's 0 for 2, but he's 2 for 2 in the funny.
Okay, good enough.
Somehow it works out when he hops on his hog and heads for parts unknown.
With a telephone stuffed into my helmet.
I think you're going to get to Nicole because we have some help from some paparazzi.
Yes, the paparazzi that came in yesterday talking about Britney Spears has the address, and I think we'll be leading the way. So Danny's going to hit the road.
Head on.
We is going to take a break, and when we come back, well, I'll surprise you next.
Cool. Yesterday on the Adam Carolla Show, we had an exclusive interview with Nicole Richie's fetus.
Thank you for this exclusive interview.
Yeah.
Are you looking forward? Are you excited to be born?
No. My mom is sleazy like Sunday morning.
Nice. Hey, wait a minute. We need you to do a live read for Heineken.
There's nothing that goes better with Vicodin than Heineken.
Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, the Dooch man has been dispatched in the Richie household. He's hopped on the hog. He's over there with the photographers. Oh, I'll straighten it out real quick. We had some of the guys in here that got pummeled by Britney Spears' bodyguards. They mentioned that they'd love to escort us over to the Richie house so that Danny could drop off his baby basket. So they have their cameras loaded up. They're going to follow the Dooch man over there for a photo op. We'll be checking in with him. First, speaking of babies, by the way, was watching Extra yesterday and learned that Jennifer Garner, Ben Affleck's woman,
right,
may be pregnant again.
Huh.
Let's find out.
Baby bump alert. The Buzz, Jen, and Ben are expecting another baby Bennifer. Extra gets the all-new shot of Jennifer Garner that's got baby bump buzz building in Hollywood. So are Jen and hubby Ben Affleck expecting a second child? No. We contacted Jen's rep today. They insist she's not pregnant.
Great story.
They lead the news. It's like, it's news. Hey, is the president gay? And then 10 minutes later, like, no. He's not.
Hold on. I've got a baby bump alert. Kate Holmes. I've got the exclusive.
She pregnant?
No.
Hey, they're intercontinental ballistic missiles coming in from the Soviet Union that may be striking U.S. soil any minute. Is that going to happen, T?
No.
No! Really? Did they not know the answer 2 minutes earlier? Because they do it on the news now. It's now.
Oh, yeah.
Now, the entertainment news is news, but it's entertainment news, so, you know, who cares? But the news does that a lot. Are apples killing your children? And then they come, back 2 seconds later, like, no. Turns out, no.
Yeah, I know. And I watched for 45 minutes to find out.
If somebody between the T's of Jen's baby bump and literally, because I did it on the TiVo, was 01 on the TiVo when they talked about the baby bump. And then it was 03 when they talked about how she's not pregnant. So if somebody in the 90 seconds in between the T's and then the payoff actually did some investigative reporting and found out she wasn't, I will accept that. But I will assume they knew she wasn't pregnant before they asked the question, is she pregnant? One more time, Bri, just because I just want to confirm it.
Baby bump alert. The Buzz, Jen, and Ben are expecting another baby Bennifer.
Extra gets the all-new shot of Jennifer Garner that's got baby bump buzz building in Hollywood. So are Jen and hubby Ben Affleck expecting a second child? No. We contacted Jen's reps today. They insist she's not pregnant.
There. Turns out no.
Sometimes. Wow. I think that was Jerry
Pinnacola. Let me just ask this, Steve. How much of an alert do we need on S that hasn't happened? You know what I mean? How much of a heads up? How much advance notice do we need to know about something that hasn't happened?
Perhaps you're not aware that there's baby bump buzz building, according to Jerry Pinnacoli. I think that was him. I mean, do you think after 20 years of that, he goes to bed at night just thinking, why, God? Why? I've had to say Bennifer 6 times today. I've had to say hubby. I've had to say hot couple alert. I've now had to say baby buzz bump building.
I know, and now how much this bleed into his real life. Like how when I talk to people, I say, I don't give an effing S, a good GDS effing mother. MF and people are like,
sure.
Can't you just say the whole word like an adult? And I'm like, huh? Oh, yeah.
So if Jerry Pennacoli's sister is pregnant.
He's having a heart-to-heart with his sister, and she's like, Jerry, I think I'm pregnant. He's like, hey, your baby bump is building, Bertha. My name's not pregnant. It has a B in it. There's alliteration. I have to speak in alliteration.
I have to take an exclusive photo. And what, right. Do they wait for an actress to gain 2 pounds or to have a little bloat? And then they've got an exclusive
Jen's
photo.
Baby bump bonanza. It's a bonanza of baby bumps. Oh, for Christ's sake. And by the way.
It's just a bloat.
As far as ladies in their late 20s and early 30s getting pregnant.
Yeah.
Just from a planetary standpoint.
Right.
How much news is that?
Well.
I mean, I know there's a handful of the female species that have gotten pregnant over the years, thus we're here.
Right.
Isn't it pretty much every GD person on the MFing planet that gets pregnant at some point? Listen, when Ben Affleck gets pregnant,
that's news.
That's baby. That's a baby bonanza bump news. That's a boyish baby bump.
In fact, that's an news. Alert.
Yeah, a chick that crapped out a kid 18 months ago who's 30, who may be pregnant again, who's in a monogamous relationship. Maybe not news.
No.
All right. Now, quickly, we have something else to play for you. It is Friday, thus Crank Anchors on MTV2. We've dug up into the vaults and have ourselves one from Susie Essman. Who's Susie Essman? She is the foul-mouthed wife of Jeff Garlin in Curb Your Enthusiasm. She's the one who just curses a blue streak on that show and hates Larry David and is hysterical. She's done tons of acting stuff. This is her, I think, is Elmer's wife, the decrepit wife of Jimmy Kimmel's character, Elmer. Calling up to do some nude modeling.
I'm so glad I got you. You're with the odd, correct?
Correct.
My name is Helen Higgins, and I'm an elderly woman. I'm 82, and I would like to do some modeling. I think it's wrong that only young people model for art classes.
I agree.
Because I think it's important for people to see what an older body looks like.
Oh, I agree.
You know, I'm from a freer generation, but you sound like you're a young kid. How old are you?
We'll be turning 36 here pretty soon.
Well, so you're not that young, but I grew up, I was a bohemian in Greenwich Village when I was younger, and I worked with some of the great artists of our time.
Great.
So what should I do? Do I have to come and audition? I'll take my clothes off for you. I don't give a damn.
Because this is a private school and we are run by a corporation, everybody from janitor to president has to fill out an application form.
I don't want to be janitor.
I know, but I'm talking just to everybody that wants to do anything here.
So I come in, I fill out an application.
Right.
Now, sometimes I also have to wear the Depends, the diapers. Is that a problem?
That could be only because the students need to have
the full
figure.
Well, it's not that I'm ashamed. I'll wear it if I have to. But and how close up do they get? Do they get very detailed? Do they, you know, because I've been told, I'm going to say this, I don't want to embarrass you. I've been told that I have a very large vagina. And I don't know if that's something they'd be interested in seeing. Because it's, I've been told it's as big as a bucket, but I don't know.
You know, the students get, you know, varying distances. They move around to get different angles on the poses.
Okay, so you're not judging, because to me, my body is my temple.
No,
although the
temple's
sagging a little around the vaginal area, but it's not what it used to be. But it's still my body, and I'm damn proud.
Good.
Now, the thing is also, my husband, this used to bother him, but I have some pock marks on the rear end. You don't care about any of that.
I don't care about any of that.
All right, I'll be down. I just can't wait to slap you on the face with my jugs. Toodles.
Bye-bye.
Quickie. Yeah. Susie Essman, again, Curb Your Enthusiasm, and many, many movies as well as Crank Anchors Friday nights on MTV2. T.
Yes.
The news.
Well, Lane Garrison gave a very tearful testimony in court yesterday. He's the actor who killed a young man in a drunk driving incident. We will hear that, as well as some special moments from the last episode of Hey Paula.
Well, I look forward to that. Bonaducci on his way to Nicole Richie's place with the baby basket and the baby bump and the photographers. We will do the news next. Tonight.
And now, the Adam Carolla Show presents Great Moments in Local News.
Still ahead at 6, Pigeons on the Pill. We'll explain.
That's a great moment in local news. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Good times. Bonaducci is heading over to Nicole Richie's place with his baby bump basket. T?
Yeah.
News, baby girl.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
Divers this morning returned to the Mississippi River searching for victims trapped in submerged vehicles as federal officials alerted states to start inspecting similar bridges. So far, 5 people are confirmed dead, and Minneapolis authorities announced that this morning. The exact number of fatalities remains unclear. The death toll is expected to climb. And you may have wondered, watching all this footage, what is it like to be on a bridge when it collapses?
I got that one figured out.
Unpleasant. At best. A woman who was actually on the Minneapolis bridge when it started to collapse estimates that she must have fallen about 40 feet altogether, but in 4 separate jolts. Here she is from Good Morning America.
I think it fell 4 times. So we know we fell, I don't know, 40 feet. We don't know how far we fell. And then we fell on a car. So we think the car might have been accelerating behind us, and my husband was trying to stop, because we didn't know what was happening. We feel so lucky, because you didn't feel like you were going to live through it. You didn't know what was happening. They were yelling in the back. One of the kids was yelling, "It's an earthquake." We didn't know what we were feeling, because it was such a, and that's why my neck hurts right now, and I know it was because it was going down, like, hard. Like, you just felt this blam, blam, blam. It just kept, like, 4 times, I think.
Yeah. Minnesota. Earthquake country. Land of 10,000 earthquakes. I know. Here's what you use. Use earthquake for when you can't figure anything out, especially out here in Southern California. You either wake up in the middle of the night and go earthquake when something's happening, or, you know, I've just woken up, looked in the mirror, saw a huge herpetic lesion on my lip and went, earthquake.
Herpetic lesion, not something I usually hear before 7:30.
I'm just saying, if there's trouble or something alarming, earthquake.
It's always an earthquake.
Race riot, earthquake.
Right.
Guy beating the crap out of me, earthquake, I yell. Must be an earthquake that's causing his fist to hit me in the face.
What about Bennifer's new baby bump?
Baby bump, earthquake. Birthquake. You said Jerry Pedicoli. It starts with a B.
Don't think he's not taking it down right now. He's out of ideas. That well has run dry 12 years ago.
The whole alliteration thing.
Yes.
Where people go.
Bennifer's baby bump.
Yeah.
Buzz.
They go from Alaska to Albuquerque. I never liked it. Never cared about it. Never impressed. And yet we won't let it die.
Garrison's
All the great literary folks of the past, yeah. All the J.D. Salingers of the world,
sure.
all the always used alliteration.
Did they?
Yeah, that's how their books worked. Everything started with the same letter. That's how you know you're a great
Adam,
author.
It's good to be here. I'd like to take you out for an imported beer.
You see that?
A lot of Maya Angelou.
Mm-hmm. All the greats.
Well, on to another story that's been covered by a lot of the tabloid media and the mainstream media. Has to do with Lane Garrison. Now, did you even know who he was before
No.
he got in trouble?
He was an
actor. He was on the show Prison Break. And if you don't recall, his troubles began one December day when he ran into 3 teenagers, a guy and with 2 of his female friends at a grocery store. Garrison accompanied them to a party where he allegedly drank vodka right out of the bottle. He enjoyed a little bit of cocaine. And when the liquor started running low, Garrison and his 3 new buddies, who were underage, headed off to buy more liquor. Lane Garrison's Land Rover jumped the curb, hit a tree on the way to the liquor store. They never made it to the liquor store. Mm-hmm. And the young man, Vahagan, died.
How do you... Well, okay. First off, he would have gotten in more trouble if they'd got it to the thing and whatever, because I'm sure there would have been a statutory rape thing, you know.
For one of the girls, you think.
Yeah, when guys... When there's one guy and two chicks and they meet a stranger and right. they're like, hey, they want a party... Right. They don't want a party. The one guy wants the one chick.
Right.
But right now there's, you know, two hot dogs in one mouth or whatever the analogy would be. You're going to need a little, let's say two tacos in one mouth.
Got it.
There you go. All right. Land Rover is a new car and has front airbags and crumple zones, and it's a big SUV, and it's probably one of the bigger, safer, newer cars on the road.
You think of that as a safe car.
How fast do you have to be going to hit a tree to kill a, like, what, 17-year-old guy with airbags and everything? It's not like they hit a diesel locomotive or anything. They just hit a tree.
Well, you know, his blood alcohol level was more than twice the legal limit. Mm-hmm. So he was evidently pretty hammered. And yesterday he was... he had a sentencing hearing. The judge, Eldon Fox, ordered Garrison to go to a state prison for 90 days. This is a very, very easy sentence. What this means is they'll take those 90 days to evaluate Garrison and determine whether he's a suitable candidate for just straight up probation after that 90 days. Here is Lane Garrison's testimony at the sentencing. You will hear him refer to the public service announcement that he made mm-hmm. to help, you know, hopefully prevent other people from drunk driving.
All I can say to you is I am so sorry that you lost someone, because I love people. That is my first passion before anything. And I don't know what you heard about comments made in the media or whatever, but I promise you, sir, and to your wife, that I try to contact you guys every day. And my attorneys called your attorneys every day. And this PSA was not a publicity stunt or anything. It was because I don't want this to happen to anyone.
Well, that was cold comfort to the father of the young man who yeah. died in the accident and to the prosecutors.
I wouldn't even be pissed if I was the dad.
Really?
I know this sounds incredible, but I base all my anger on intent.
Right.
If somebody did something intentionally to hurt one of my family members, I would be livid and want to hurt them. If it was a mistake, it was a mistake. We do that thing all the time where everyone gets real preachy. Hey, there's a dead body and yeah. there's no difference. Then there's a huge difference.
Yeah.
It's all intent.
They weren't in a fist fight where he smashed him over the head with a bottle or a bat.
No, he wanted to party. They wanted to party. It's the kind of thing that happens every single day in every single city in this country. And once in a while, something stupid happens. It's his fault. You don't drive drunk. Sure. You screw up. But, if you're driving now or you're listening now and you've never driven intoxicated, raise your hand.
Or call us.
Yeah. Phone ain't ringing off the hook.
No.
Look, I feel bad for everyone. I feel bad for the parents. I feel bad for Lane and everyone else. But again, this is much different than the kind of crime where you pull a guy out of his cab of yeah. his semi-truck and throw a cinder block through his head.
Sure.
Those are scary people. This guy, not scary, sad, and has already had the ultimate punishment. He's young, this Lane Garrison guy. I'm guessing he's in his early 20s. He gets to live for probably another 60 years knowing he killed a 17-year-old.
And I think he'll always be that guy. I mean, when I heard about this story, I thought I'd rather I just died in that accident than mm-hmm. be responsible for killing a 17-year-old and having to live with that.
Jack Silver said that, too. Said rather Teresa Strasser just die there.
Is Tracy Metro still available?
Mm-mm.
Well, prosecutors were hoping that Lane Garrison would get at least 4 years out of a possible six. They were not happy with the judge's decision to let him off with as little as 90 days. Neither was Vahagan's father, who testified at the hearing and was not interested in any mercy for Lane Garrison, who obviously we all agree should not have been driving at twice the legal limit. Here is what he had to say.
He's an actor, and he is acting. Let's not fall for his act. Mm. He killed a human being. He killed our son. Does he really understand what he has done? Yesterday was probably one of the most difficult days for Ida and I. It was Vahagan's birthday. He would have been 18.
Hold on. Was he named Vahagan?
Vahagan.
Oh, Vahagan. I keep, they're like calling, like, you know, once in a while, the guy calls himself the Steve. He's the most popular guy in the frat house.
Yes.
I thought they were calling him the Hoggin.
Vahagan.
Vahagan.
I double-checked the pronunciation. Well, it's an unusual name.
But Lane Garrison, look, I don't want to beat kick a guy when he's down. Hey, everyone! The Hoggin's here! He's doing a keg stand, everybody! Now, look. Again, I don't want to kick a guy when it's down, but it's not like Lane Garrison kicked in the guy's front door, pulled him away from his computer where he was doing his algebra homework, got him in a headlock and dragged him out, you know, shoved a funnel of beer in his mouth and then dragged him out on the road. The guy was partying. The guy was doing underage drinking. The guy was doing the stupid things that they keep telling you not to do.
Yes.
You're young. Don't drink. You're young. Don't party. You're young. Don't get drunk and get on the road with a guy. They tell you all this stuff. They told everyone not to do this. They said, don't drink and drive. Don't party. Underage drinking. Blah, blah, blah. And everyone got into the dance and did it anyway. And now somebody's dead.
You would probably tell your children, hey, why not stay out of a car with a guy who's clearly intoxicated?
Yeah.
Horrible idea.
Thank you. The more you know.
The more you know. Now, here's a story out of South Dakota about a man from Sioux Falls who police arrested for, quote, 2 years worth of videotaped sex acts with traffic signs.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. On Tuesday, a 60-year-old named Verl Peter Dills was arrested at his home in Sioux Falls after a man had chased Verl out of his yard and called police. When the man saw Verl, he had a video camera on a tripod and was filming himself having sex with a road sign. The cops got a search warrant, and in his house...
What do you mean, having sex with a road sign?
The road sign. They found hundreds of 8mm and VHS tapes featuring Verl engaging in different sex acts with traffic signs near his house. They did not elaborate beyond that. And I'm trying to let my imagination run wild.
Definitely not a Jew.
We've all nailed the O and stop.
Right.
That's easy.
Okay.
And I don't know the meaning of the word yield once I get going.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Sexually.
But kids crossing is preferred.
No, but the one down by the border in Encinitas over there that shows the whole family crossing
running
the street with a dragon, I've gotten the whole family. And don't get me started on the deer crossing.
Could you take the sign? Isn't the sign on a post?
I don't know how it works. But I don't know, but is this how it works? Like, if the sign is his sort of sexual conquest, then when he's out on the road, and like when a guy goes on the road and cruises prostitutes, is this guy just driving down the street and like, loose gravel, WS, I'll be back.
Is it too obvious, but slippery when wet?
Well, I'm urging, you know. But, I mean,
a little on the nose?
Yeah.
Well, Verl was charged with burglary because he was stealing the sign.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Unlawful occupancy and 6 charges of indecent exposure.
But finally, vindication for the detective who'd been working the case for 2 years.
Yeah.
Who's been saying to his partners and his chief, I have a theory. Why? What? Detective Johnson, why do you think those signs have been missing for 2 years? They've been coming up. I think a hillbilly's videotaping himself having sex with them. They called him insane. They said he was nuts. They wanted to lift his shield. They tried to drum him out of the department. But now, who's laughing?
That's right. He's being held on a $100,000 bond.
Alrighty.
In the world of entertainment, there's a little show called Hey Paula on Fox.
Mm.
And sadly, last night was the final episode. I hope it comes back.
Hmm. But if you have sex with that baby on board signs, that make you a pedophile?
Yeah, clearly.
Okay, just checking. Sex with the sign.
My mind reels.
And listen, I have a vivid imagination. You know, when someone says, oh, I had sex with a moccasin, I go, touche. And when they go, I had sex with a cassava melon, I go, right on.
Right. Liver.
Yeah. They're like, I had sex with a dustbuster. And you go, any port in a storm, brother.
Yeah.
I think we've all been there. But the traffic sign, I got nothing.
Maybe
smoke starts coming out of my ears, and then a tilt sign comes up on my eyeballs.
And then you have sex with it.
And then I bang the bejesus out of that yield sign.
Now, hey, Paula, finished up last night, and they let me down because they decided to show footage that they had never shown before, which means it sucked, and she didn't have one single meltdown, but there was a highlight. Paula, as you know, has a lot of problems with her back. She treats those problems with some painkillers.
Yeah. I would argue the problem is with her front.
The frontal lobe.
Just the front. Anything that comes out of the front, that's where the real problem is.
You mean the mouth and the eyes?
Just the front.
Well, her back and her neck have trouble, and she obviously takes pain pills for that. But
how many years did she play in the NFL?
I think 6 or 7.
Like, what was she, a wedge buster on the special teams for the Pats in the mid-80s through the early 90s, or was she a Lakers girl?
She was a Laker girl.
Okay.
And a choreographer.
How badly can you hurt your back writing horrible songs in the early 90s?
Well, by the way, at the end of the episode, which is obviously the series.
And how many vertebrae does she even have?
She's like 4-1.
She's really, there's this much. I know I'm holding my fingers. Yes. There's 3 inches worth of spine. How much of that road can go bad?
They all hurt.
All right.
And she poignantly ends the episode by reminding us that she's forever our girl.
Mm-hmm.
At one point, though, she has a team of people that work on her back, one of whom is this massage therapist slash acupuncturist. And, you know, he digs in there pretty deeply.
Mm-hmm.
And I need to tell you, this audio has not been modified in any way, and it's brief, so listen carefully. Here is Paula Abdul getting a massage.
Ow, that hurts. It hurts good, you know?
And then she goes on to let us know this.
Shaquille can't take it as deep as I can.
Right, because she's so tough from being a dancer.
You play that again and get me one of those bottleneck signs.
Hold on.
Shaquille can't take it as deep as I can.
Yeah. If you do the men at work sign, you're at least by the way.
All
school
right.
Crossing. Yeah.
Now, are you aware that J-Lo has a new movie coming out?
They are the most obnoxious couple on the planet, and I don't even know why.
Wait till you hear this. Do you want to hear how that... Yes.
Mark Anthony...
I know you hate him.
The hairs on the back of my neck and chinny chin chin. By the way, do we need 3 of those?
No. Chinny chin.
Chinny chin. I think we'll know what you're talking about. I'm not talking about a Thai restaurant. We're talking about your chin.
Chin chin.
My chinny chin chin. The hair on the back of my neck starts standing up when I hear from this little Mexican river rat.
He's Puerto Rican.
This song blows. Don't know the difference.
I
don't
love
care
this song.
To.
This I love
song
it so
sucks
much.
Ass. He dumped his. Well, he did that move where he got together with his wife, who was like
Dayanara Torres,
Miss Dominican Republic.
Hot.
And super hot. And then they like got divorced, and then he got her back again. Then he dumped her for J-Lo.
Yes,
I know. Don't give me the yo-yo, Anthony.
It's a good song. Come on.
And she's short, and she's 2 feet taller than he is.
That's the one thing with him. He's very slight. He's more of an appetizer.
Oh, he's like a Mexican Skeletor, wherever he's from.
Well, he plays Hector Lavoe in this movie, who was a famous Puerto Rican singer back in the 70s and 80s and brought salsa into the mainstream. J-Lo plays Lavoe's wife, but they have very different acting styles. Here is Jennifer Lopez to discuss.
One of the things is that Mark and I have very different styles of working as actors. And I'd never done a movie with him or ever worked with him acting. We've done videos and we've done a lot of music together. But this was the first time we acted together. And he is very loose. You know what I mean? He's kind of like, you know, he knows the lines kind of, and he knows what he wants to do in the scene. But me, I like prepare and do research and know all the lines and know his lines too. And you know what I mean? I'm like one of those people. So we kind of have very different styles in that sense.
Right.
So
let me translate.
Yeah.
She gives an ass. He doesn't.
Right.
He shows up not knowing what the dialogue is, and she feeds it to him.
Would you like to see the Bourne ultimatum?
I would.
That's open.
I saw that last night.
Let me tell. Yeah. Shut up, Paul Bryan. Let me say this. Here's the beauty of me. I didn't see it, but I feel much more qualified to talk about it than Bald Brian.
All right.
Now, Bald Brian, stop me if I'm wrong. Here's the problem with movies these days. This CGI thing has gotten out of hand. All the Star Wars movies, the last, like, four of them, have sucked because of the CGI. Everything's filmed in front of a green screen, and you see these, you know, see these legions of androids, but they look like drawings.
Yeah.
You see, before there was CGI, there was just stunts.
Right.
Everyone had to do these great, crazy car stunts, and if someone was going to catch on fire, you took a stuntman and you caught him on fire. You didn't CGI it.
Right.
Then CGI came around, and it looked kind of good, but you could see, you know, we're in a horrible generation. Here's why. Our kids will enjoy CGI where you can't tell. You'll not be able to tell the computer-generated stuff from the actual stunts. Before us, no CGI, so just actual stunts. We're in the in-between where it's CGI, but you can tell it's computer-generated, and so it kind of bumps you. The Bourne series,
ultimatum.
The Bourne series does none of that. It's old-fashioned stunts and action. Car chases, cameras mounted from the driver's POV, cameras following guys, jumping from building to building. Gritty.
Feels gritty.
Old-fashioned stunts, and that's what feels good and so authentic about it. Right, Paul Bryan?
Yes, there's some serious ass-kicking in this movie, like bloody knuckle, full-on stuntman ass-kicking flying through windows. It's good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, may I pose this question to perhaps the two of you, because I'm on the fence. Julia Stiles, is she hot?
Mm-mm.
Oh, I couldn't disagree more.
Uh-oh.
Very hot.
You make how much a year, Bald Brian? We'll just let the audience figure out who's right.
I can't tell with that one also at the box office.
No.
Yes? No, you don't care for her.
She has it look. You know what boxers look like? Only white boxers, actually. White boxers, after a long career where their face gets kind of flattened out.
Mushed.
It doesn't look bad.
Right.
It just looks mushed. It looks like they got pounded like a cutlet a little. She has a little of that mixed with the A cup. Not a fan.
But you go for, like, the non-female impersonators, you know what I'm talking about?
She's
the female,
natural.
Yeah, she's sort of very non-traditionally.
I do give her points on that.
Yes, well, just to wrap up.
She looks like a very natural ex-boxer. She's been punched in the face 30 times.
Underdog, the live-action version of the classic cartoon, is also opening. Hot Rod, a comedy starring Saturday Night Live's Andy Samberg.
Hadn't seen anything on that.
No, and Bratz. Live-action version of the toy and merchandise line. I'm sure you're going to enjoy that.
I'm going to see that just because I'm a Paul Abdul fan.
I'm Teresa Strasser. That's the news.
Tomorrow's news. Today, Teresa Strasser. You, CNN.
All right. Well, Bonaducci on his way with his paparazzi friends on his hog. Unclear if they're all on the bike, but they're heading over to Nicole Richie's place. They're going to drop off a little baby basket. We'll check in with him. Teresa has a bombshell to drop.
Yeah.
That's right. There's an update on her love life. We're all curious, and she'll fill us in next on the Adam Carolla Show.
And now, Alcoa presents the 100th Definitely Not of June on the Adam Carolla Show. Arizona. A 49-year-old man was performing an exorcism on his 3-year-old granddaughter while his naked, bloody 19-year-old daughter watched. When police broke in, they killed the man with 2 shots from a stun gun. Congratulations to you, the 100th Definitely Not a Jew.
Yeah, here's the great news. I'm sure the police department is being sued now for killing that old retarded goat. Please. So nice that he's dead.
Sued by a Jew?
There was one in the mix. Wasn't on the cop side. Wasn't on the plaintiff's side, but I guarantee you one worked its way into the mix. Let me tell you something about the Jews. They don't like to get their hands dirty. Let the dust settle. Then right. They'll step in.
Sure.
And get their 30%.
Right.
That's all. T?
Yep.
What's going on with you, speaking of Jews, baby doll?
Definitely not a Jew. my new boyfriend. But he's okay with the Jews. He's Jew friendly. Well, Adam, it's been 2.5 months, almost 3 months.
Happiest 2.5 months of my life.
Have I been in a better mood since I've been in love?
Yes. You've been like one of Katrina's waves. That Katrina.
Right. It's confusing now.
I'm talking about Katrina
been
and
like
the waves.
Disaster?
You've been walking on sunshine, baby, and blowing it, too.
Yes. I'm very happy.
I'll tell you the thing about women.
Yeah?
If women are miserable, they'll make you miserable.
Sure.
When a guy's miserable, he just makes himself more miserable. You understand?
Yeah, I completely understand. And in fact,
if a chick's in a bad way, she will ruin everyone she works with.
Yeah.
Whereas if a guy is in a bad way,
right,
he masturbates excessively and then turns on himself.
We're like Typhoid Mary of our mood.
Yes.
It will infect everyone around us.
Right. I'm sure every guy in this building is miserable, too. You just wouldn't know it.
Right. They're just, what was it? Masturbating and
turning on themselves.
Turning on themselves.
That's right.
Well, I've been very happy, and I've actually, one of the things I've made an effort to do is, well, everything the opposite I did in my last relationship, but especially if not to take things out on him if I'm in a bad mood, and to always tell him, I know I'm having a stressful day, but I'm so lucky to have met you, and you're the most important thing in my life.
I wish you were dead.
Thanks, baby, but let's stay on topic, please.
So, okay, so here's the news.
Mm-hmm.
We're moving in together.
Give it 10 minutes. Yeah.
Not right away. We picked a date.
Uh-huh.
Halloween. it seemed good because I was terrified. And I thought, why not choose Halloween? Could be a trick or a treat.
Now, why Halloween?
I don't know. It just seemed like the right amount of time. You know, we will have been dating a couple more months by then. And it's the end of the month.
Okay. Let me give you this slice of advice.
Oh, I need it because I'm terrified.
I've gone around and around on this topic. I'm now sort of landing in the camp of don't live together before you're married, or do live together for a very short period of time.
Yes, I think it will be the latter. I think we will be living together a short period of time before there's some change.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of what the best scenario, what I would hope for my children. This, we'll get shacked up, we'll give it 5-6 years, and then see if we feel like getting married is no way to get married. And if you do get married, it's very anticlimactic.
Right.
Because you're basically heading back to the same place you've been heading back to with the same person for the last 5 years, and you had sex with them the day before.
Right.
How great's that honeymoon? Oh, we'll do it in the living room this time instead of the bedroom. I mean, it's just, the bloom is off the rose.
Oh, my God.
That was me and Dag on our honeymoon. Now, the other side of that coin is you guys have no idea what it's like day in and day out to be together. Oh, sure, you see each other on weekends out for romantic meals, but what about when it comes time to do the laundry? Does the guy snore at night? So on and so forth. So I would think the best compromise would be to live with somebody under 6 months.
Yeah.
But over 2 months, I'd say about 3 months.
Okay.
3-4 months, and then you get married.
Well, by the way, you told me when we first started dating and things were looking up that don't go forever and not live together. Make it about 5-6 months and then get engaged shortly thereafter. And I'm following your advice. But, you know, this is coming from him.
Well, I just feel like this, you sit around and stare at everything for years is no way to go through life. And as I've said many times, your decision-making process is purest at the beginning.
Yeah.
I bought my first house after looking at maybe 2 houses before I bought my house. And everybody said, geez, that seems too rushed.
Right.
You hardly looked at any houses. And I said, I've been looking at houses my whole life. I'm not looking to buy, just looking at houses.
Exactly.
I like this one, and I'm going with it. And I've never regretted it, and I don't think you ever regret that. If you're going to pick out a wallpaper, have your husband put 5 swatches on the wall. Don't let him show them to you. And then you just turn around and he yells 10 seconds, point to one. You'll never be purer than that. You stare at it for hours, and eventually gets blurry and all just becomes one crappy throw-up color. that's what your relationship will
become.
Right.
Well, I have some concerns, but this is the weird thing.
What are the concerns?
The big, deep emotional questions, I'm not worried. Usually I'm scared. Is this the one? How do I know? What's it supposed to feel like? I'm not worried about any of that. I feel like this is the one, and I feel pretty certain about it. But then there's stupid things like, you know, there's only one bathroom. Mm-hmm. What if I have to go?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I don't need him to know.
Courtesy
stuff like that.
Flush. You got a fart fan in there?
No, I mean, I can't. I can't even deal with it. I mean,
you know, the thing about the fart fan is I see the newer ones now. It's like whisper quiet. It's like, I don't want whisper quiet. I want to
blow it out.
I want a high school. I want one that says high school band.
Right.
I mean, I want to go up there and let my tuba freak flag fly. I want one that sounds like a Messerschmitt, like a squadron of Messerschmitts are flying over our village. I don't want whisper quiet. I want people in neighboring communities to hear this thing and go, wow, Carolla's taking a dump. They hear the buzz coming from over the hill.
But do you remember?
I want the SC marching band.
Do you remember when you
I want Fleetwood
yes.
Mac playing Tusk while I'm on the toilet dropping some ivory.
When you first started dating your wife,
mm-hmm.
do you remember the moment where you became comfortable and you thought, okay, I can go to the bathroom over there or, you know, it's okay. We're all people.
I'm still not at that phase. I don't believe she's ever gone to the bathroom.
That's what I'd like. I'd like to keep
that. You woke me up for.
Yeah.
I'd like to keep that going.
I look, I'm all for that. I mean, look, you don't have to wear makeup to bed.
Right.
But it is nice to, you know, not let your significant other see you picking at your ass or
right.
blowing a snot rocket.
I know.
Busted on that the other day.
Really?
Got the super witty from the wife. You going to the movies? No. Why? You're picking your seat. So that's good stuff, baby. Maybe you should be doing the morning radio. I'll sleep in and
did
pick
you,
my seat.
Did you, when you moved in together, did you feel overwhelmed or smothered?
I feel smothered now, just being in the studio with you. I'm always smothered.
Really?
I'm trying to think. We moved into a smaller house. She's pretty laid back. I was cool with it, but yeah. It's about square footage. If you guys are on top of each other, you'll feel smothered. It's no different, sadly, it's no different than any roommate.
Right.
You live in a big place, they have their own bathroom, or they have some kitchenette, and they never leave their guest house, or whatever it is, you're not going to feel smothered.
Yeah.
You guys are on top of each other on the same futon. You get up in the middle of the night to use the commode, and he's on it, and there's no second commode. Yeah. It's like if you had one car to share
right.
between two people, you would have a lot of arguments about the car.
Right, exactly.
You both have your own car, zero arguments about the car.
That's a good point. Maybe we need a bigger place.
You may need some square footage.
Yeah.
And yeah, the two bathrooms is paramount because there's a couple things.
Yeah.
A, chicks have hairs.
Yeah.
That come off of their head. They're
yeah.
like 9 foot long.
They're everywhere. Everywhere
and
I go.
And they're caught around stuff. They're getting caught yeah. in the drain. Even there's chicks with short hair. Dorothy Hamill. more current references.
Annie Lennox.
Posh Spice.
Yes.
Hello, my baby. Hello, my
Louise Brooks.
In her bathroom, there are hairs that are 3 foot long. So there's 3 foot long hairs. There's your guys, your junk you spread out everywhere with the curling irons
yeah.
and the blow dryers and all the creams and the salves and the ointments and the makeups and everything. So you guys will fill a bathroom. Guys have we have a toothbrush,
right.
toothpaste, shave cream, and that's about
Sometimes
it.
Sometimes you have a hair gel that you don't use, but you usually have one.
Those
mousse.
Metro types I don't trust. There'll be a little something, but a woman will come in, and that's where the argument will come, because you'll be running late for work. You'll leave here's the first thing you're going to do. You're going to leave that hot comb or that curling iron or that wand. You're
yeah.
going to leave it plugged in,
sure.
and you're going to leave it on,
yeah.
and it'll be going all morning, and then he'll walk in at 8 o'clock, and he'll burn his hand, and he'll get a little PO, and he'll see the long hair everywhere, and then he's going to open a drawer, and he's going to see a tampon.
Uh-oh. Rogue?
Now,
a rogue tampon?
Rogue pond.
Out of the box?
Rogue pond. Out of box. Not sure where its home is. Don't care. Drifter. Lone Wolf McPond.
He's going to freak out.
He's going to freak. You know when girls, you ever do this? You open a drawer and there's like a cockroach or bug or silverfish. You open the drawer and you're like, oh, ho! Yeah. That's what we do with the tampon or the pad. Although the pad, somehow a little more acceptable. But the pon.
Because that goes in.
He's going to open that thing up and he's gonna step back. And then he's going to do that thing where he tries to calm himself down. I jump up on the table. I pull my skirt up and I start screaming.
Like it's a mouse.
That's right. Then Jimmy runs in with a rolled up newspaper and starts chasing it around the bathroom.
Can I tell you something really sweet, though? Really sweet. So it's very difficult to see each other because, you know, I get up at 4 and then 3 days a week I work the other job at the TV water cooler. So it's tough because I go to bed at 8. Mm-hmm. And so he is trying to stay over at my place so we can see each other, but trying not to keep me up too late or wake me up or anything. And so last night he slept over and then I said, I'm not going to wake you up in the morning when I leave at 4:45. I'm not going to wake you up. And then he said, if you don't wake me up, I'll be very angry. Mm-hmm. So as I was on my way out, he woke me up. And then I woke him up.
Right.
And then he insisted on walking me to my car because it's dark. That was very sweet.
With a boner?
Yeah.
Because you don't wake up at 4:45 as a guy and not, and you just walk to the car with the boner?
Yes. And nothing else on.
What did he do?
He just walked me to the car.
Did he have a towel on?
No, yeah. He had boxers and a t-shirt. But underneath there was a boner. It's a morning.
So, you know, someone ought to make denim underpants because the time you need to kill the boner the most is the morning, and the towel that you wrap around you or the boxer shorts or the PJ bottoms, not boner restraint material right there.
Yeah. Yeah. There was clearly a boner and it was very sweet. He walked me because he just wanted to make sure I was safe.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I love that.
It's awesome, except for 2.5 weeks into you guys living together, you'll wake him up at 4:45 and you'll do that thing where you hold the door open and he'll do the half asleep wave, break wind, and turn over onto said boner. Speaking of boners, Danny?
Ah.
Hey.
Hey, where are you, my brother?
I believe I am 2 or 3 houses down. I am with the paparazzi who I lost for a quick moment there.
Mm-hmm.
I actually lost them, which is weird. They've never lost me. And I think I'm about to pull up and deliver Bonaducci's beautiful baby bundle bonanza.
Alliteration. So important in our game. So, Danny, you are in somewhere in the city of Glendale?
I am. Did you know that I'm going like, what the hell does she live around here for? There's some huge-ass mansions up here.
Yeah, up in the hills especially.
They're beautiful.
So she's there at allegedly Joel Madden's place, right?
You know what? I don't know. I'm just the delivery boy.
Yeah. I don't know if it's her place. I think it's her good Charlotte boyfriend's place.
I think Danny's the delightful diaper delivery boy.
So you will drop that off, and we will try to, ring the gate, send somebody in? I mean,
it's never my call to drop anything off. My mission plan is to get in the house and talk to Nicole or to talk to Paris or to talk to whoever.
Right.
What usually happens. This buddy in a bulletproof vest comes out and says, we'll take the bottom of your beautiful baby bundle of bagel.
Right. Well, so I guess what we'll do, and maybe you can talk to your paparazzi buddies who have followed you over there, because they'll probably have some insights and some ideas about what the best mode of, you know, the best tactical move next to get in the house, or, you know, should you do a shoulder roll through the front door? Should you ring the doorbell, or how exactly you should do it?
I'm right next to me. I'll be there right now.
Yeah, ask them what they think you should do.
Hold on a second.
Or you know what I'm saying.
Who's in charge of this Motley Grill? All right, here's the question from Mr. Carolla. What is our plan now? What do we do now?
We're trying to find the house right now.
Let's grab that. Talk right to Mr. Carolla.
We're trying to find the house right now.
Mm-hmm.
And when we get to the house, we will deliver the basket that he has in his salad bag.
All right. And now how do you figure out which house it is?
I'm on the phone with a couple of different guys who actually have been to the house a couple of times. I have never been to the house myself, so.
Mm-hmm. So they'll describe it.
Yeah, so they're trying to describe it to me right now, actually, on the other phone.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, we'll let you get back to that. Hand the phone back to Danny, please. Danny.
What's up?
I think we need to take a break. We'll do that, and then we'll check back with you when we come back and find out whether you're able to deliver the goods or not.
Okay, if that was me driving by, I'm the guy with a Harley Davidson, a helmet on his head, a telephone stuffed in the helmet, a cigarette.
All right.
I hope he gets there. Thanks, because Danny. I finally watched Nicole and Joel Madden's GMA interview last night, and she's likable.
I hate to say it, but all right.
She
and
really
he's kind of likable, too.
I know.
Yeah.
They're trying.
No,
I would have never left Hillary Duff, ever.
Yeah. She's hot.
Be on her right now. All right, so here's the question then. Well, people are calling. They have ideas.
About my moving in with my new man?
Yeah, they want to know if you're moving too fast.
Me too. I mean, I'm well. Your input is welcome. And also, if you have recently moved in with somebody and you have some tips that you think would make it easier,
yeah,
smoother,
mm-hmm.
I'm open to all advice.
I'm also wanting to hear the disaster stories.
Uh-oh.
I want to know about when you moved in with somebody and what the deal breaker was, what they did. What they did, what you saw, what you wouldn't have seen if you guys had lived separately, but within a week of moving in with them, you saw what they did. Because there are things you'll never know until you're living on top of the person. All the dates, all the courting, all the romantic picnics and dinners will never right. reveal what they're truly like.
Well, I'll tell you this. Last night, I was taking a bath. And he was just sitting there keeping me company, and I was shaving my armpits, and I thought I shouldn't be doing this in front of him.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, no, it's sexy.
Mm-hmm.
See? So things are looking good.
Yeah. We're going to take a break. I'll leave you all with a question.
Yeah.
I've lived with a few women in my day. You ask yourself this hypothetical. Did I ever broach the topic of me urinating in the sink before we lived together? First, second date? Over a glass of wine? Do you think it ever came up?
No.
That I like to, because I'm a multitasker, I don't believe I should just shave. I believe there are other things I could be doing.
But you didn't tell Lynette this before you were already cohabitating.
I don't believe I ever voiced it.
What, you wrote her a note?
In the snow. You can only do that with the door open so many times before prying eyes happen to walk by. And I don't just mean Lynette. I'm talking about Ozzy's wife, Molly, and now the nanny. We'll take ourselves a quick break, back with your stories for good and for bad, but I'm hoping for bad.
I'm hoping for good.
What you learned when you moved in, was it a deal breaker? Were you able to get past it? Is Teresa moving too fast? How long before you get married? All these, I hope you shed some light on. 866-901-ADAM next.
In case you haven't heard the news, Teresa is moving in with her boyfriend after a storybook 90-day courtship. So we'd like to hear from you. What happened when you moved in with your significant other? And are you still together? Call 866-901-ADAM. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, let me just get everyone caught up. Bonaducci and the paparazzi are on Danny's hog, and I don't mean motorcycle. They've headed out to Nicole Richie's place. He's brought a little baby bump basket over there. He's hopefully going to present it to her.
Yeah.
He's working on that. We're going to check in with him in a couple of few. But first, some unfinished business with Teresa. Teresa has met Mr. Wright.
I hope.
Well, look, this as I've said many, many times, this sort of soulmate thing is the bar's too high. There's no way everyone's finding their soulmate. Everyone is with somebody for a reason, and it's usually proximity. It's sad, but it's true. Who was your best friend all the way through grade school and junior high?
The girl who lived up the block.
Right.
Yeah.
That's how it works. Who do you date? You date the guy who goes to high school. What about all the people that do that? He was captain of the football team. I was head cheerleader, and we've been married for 26 years. That's your soulmate? You guys just both ended up at North Hollywood High? There's 15 high schools within 15 miles of my high school, and
right.
Everyone found their soulmate?
Seems unlikely.
No. You change, the person changes, but ultimately, you're with somebody, and it's great if that somebody flips your cookie, but ultimately it's about being with somebody, and you should be your own soulmate. 'Cause you'll never find soulmate good enough if you're not your own soulmate.
That's true.
I know it sounds retarded and campy and all that stuff, but you know what I mean. If you're not happy with yourself, then you're never going to be happy with anyone else, and then you will make them miserable, and then they will hate you as much as you hate yourself.
Thanks for describing my 20s.
All right, so you have a man. You're moving in on Halloween.
We chose Halloween, and he asked. I really wanted to move in, but I waited for it, you know? Mm-hmm. Like in Little League, when the ball's coming, and they're like, wait for it. Mm-hmm. I waited, and then he finally asked.
Mm-hmm. And how many square feet does he have?
Well, this is the problem. I just bought a place, mm-hmm. not knowing that I was going to meet, you know, this, you know, this soulmate-ish guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's maybe a little too small. One bathroom, two bedrooms. It's a little smallish.
Your place too small.
I think it's going to be small. But
his place?
He lives in a bigger place. We maybe should go there.
Everybody, here's what you need. If you don't have a big place, you need a long hallway.
Yeah.
You need a little heads up when the other person's
right.
coming.
Right.
That's what you need. You need a long hallway between you and whoever else with right. a nice wooden floor, no runner.
I know, because as it is now, the things I worry about are so stupid. Like, when am I going to put on my mint mask? I have still never gone to the bathroom over there or when he's at my place in 3 months. And one night, believe me, was not easy goings.
Yeah.
I had to go. What was I going to do? I had to hold it in.
I'm telling
this
you.
This is amazing.
I know. It was amazing, and it was all I could think about.
There's a deadly combination in most bathrooms between tons of tile and porcelain, which does not absorb sound very well. It kind of bounces off. It's an echo chamber. This is what you get in bathrooms. You give mirror, tile, and porcelain.
Yeah.
Ceramic. Doesn't work well. Then you combo that with the door that was undercut because they used to have shag carpeting
right.
before they tore it up and did the hardwood floors. Now you have essentially 3 inches of daylight
yes.
peeking out underneath the door. And then the room that's attached to the bathroom is the bedroom. And he's lying on his back watching a little TiVo. And whatever's come out of you just sounds like ass trumpets.
I can turn on the
thousand
faucet.
Ass trumpets.
I can turn on the faucet.
Heralding the arrival.
I really want him to really to think that I excrete waste through my skin or something like a frog.
Right. Good times.
Thanks.
Alisa?
Yeah.
Is it Alisa?
It is.
All right. What's up, baby doll?
Wow. How's it going, guys?
Going
great. Guys. A lot of fun.
Thanks. You. How
yeah.
say you?
Well, I just wanted to tell you to just go with it if you want to. I met my hubby at a 4th of July party about 2.5, 3 years ago. And we kind of talked on the phone a lot, and then we went out on a couple of dates. And the first time we ever hooked up, it was at his house. I wound up sleeping over, and I never left. And now, and he of course told me to just bring, he's like, you're always over, bring your stuff. And now we're married, aww. And we have a baby.
Oh, congratulations. How old's your baby?
He's almost 10 months.
I gotta say, I don't know. I don't have any stats in front of me. Congratulations, Alisa.
Yeah.
I think arranged marriages probably last longer than people that arrange their own.
I would agree. You learn to love the person, and you make a decision to be with that person, and you make it work.
Your instincts aren't great anyway.
Right. Mine have been horrible. I followed my instincts down nothing but dark alleys.
Yes, you do. Your compass is broken. You have no divining rod. And if you do, actually worse, you have a compass that doesn't just spin around. True north is south, and you go the wrong direction. And the divining rod leads you to not pay dirt.
But Brian Dunkelman. Enough said.
Yeah, it's very
that seemed like
it's
a great
very
idea.
True.
He seemed like a great idea until he was it was poker night every night.
I had a girlfriend that moved in very quickly when I got a couple of nightmare girlfriend move-in stories.
Stripper? You all right?
Yeah, I got the stripper move-in story where I got kicked out of the house I was renting with the five guys because they decided to sell it. We'd been going out for like 3-4 weeks. I had no place to live, and we moved into her bachelor apartment. And I'm talking about one room.
On top of each other.
No kitchen. I mean, the kitchen was a little kitchenette. The bathroom was right there, but one room. The dining room, the living room, the den, the bedroom, all was one room. It was in the basement of a crappy apartment in Hollywood, and we were basically arguing from the time I moved in. It was horrible. And I'm telling you, square footage, everybody, it will add 5 years to any relationship. another chick that moved in with me moved in the 94 earthquake.
Oh, her place was demolished.
She was staying overnight at my crap hole in La Crescenta with the other three guys.
Spanish for the Crescenta.
Yes, that I was staying at with other bunch of other three guys. She stayed over one night. We had the big 94 quake. She was freaked out because she was from Minnesota. And I was like, hey, baby, we have these quakes all the time. Look at us. We're in one piece. Our house is fine. We're up here in La Crescenta. Busted a few dishes. No harm, no foul.
Right.
She's out in Sherman Oaks right along the river, the L.A. River, which used to be the river. And apparently there was some liquefaction process going on. I'm no plate tectonic scientist, but I can tell you. I told her, I was giving her the, I'm a veteran of earthquakes. Right. I know you're freaked out because you're from Minnesota. All you have is bridges collapsing where you are. This is nothing. No harm, no foul. We drove over to her house the whole time. I was giving her a speech. Look, it's no problem. We walked up to her apartment, had a big red police ribbon in front of it. No entry. Condemned. Apartment condemned. She had no apartment. Her job, which was on Ventura Boulevard, also condemned. She worked at a restaurant. Condemned. No job, no money. She worked as a waitress. Wasn't anything like she had some Aflac or severance package or anything. No money, no job. My job shut down for a few weeks, the gym I was working at, because of the earthquake. And her car broke down, which was a pile of crap. She had no money, no job. No apartment. I had no job. I had no money. I had a crappy car which barely ran. She had a car which didn't run. And she was flopping at my La Crescenta shack with my roommate. And her mom had scheduled a visit and bought the tickets for like 2 days after the earthquake. And was heading out from Minnesota to stay with her. But it wasn't with her anymore. It was with me.
Awful.
And her mom walked through the front door of my crappy La Crescenta bachelor pad and started in on me immediately.
About your pad?
I had gotten sick. I don't know what I had. I didn't have medical insurance. I couldn't go to a doctor and find out what I had. I had my tongue was swollen. I had lesions inside my mouth. I had them on my face. I was night sweats, soaking the sheets every night. And when I answered the door and she took a look at me, she was like, my God, what are you doing to my daughter? And I'd had an ass full of her when she barely crossed the threshold into the house and I was in no mood and I started back on her. And then it was just me and Minnesota mom arguing in the entry hall of my crappy La Crescenta house with the girlfriend that had no car and there was no money.
How long till you kick this girl out?
I think we made it about another 6-8 months.
Wow.
She got a place. That was the end of that. But yeah, good times. Good times. Good times.
That
Lauren?
Sounds doomed.
Oh, Lauren?
Yes?
I should have killed myself. I don't know. People go, hey, everything worked out. Aren't you glad you didn't kill yourself? And I go, no. I wish I had a time machine. I can go back and kill myself. Lauren, how say
Hi.
You?
Good morning.
Hi.
Is that the streets of Philadelphia?
Because you had herpetic lesions.
I don't like you're pretty sick.
I had AIDS.
You look like you had
the 90s.
Kaposi sarcoma on your face.
No, it was like I had herpes. That's what it looked like. But he had AIDS. I'm hanging on AIDS, not herpes. Lauren, sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, good morning, Teresa. I've got a story about meeting soulmates. I met my husband at a bar in Hollywood, the Coconut Teaser. And
I know the Coconut Teaser. Brian Dunkelman used to do comedy there.
I used to go there because we used to be able to drink there when we were like 17.
Yeah. Sunset?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's the one. And we met, and it was love at first sight. And I lived in L.A. He lived in, a couple hundred miles away. So we kept in touch by phone. And on our second date, we moved in together. And we've been together 17 years now. Got two great kids.
Oh, I love this story, Lauren.
Fantastic.
Thank you so much for calling in with that. That makes me happy because sometimes I feel like I must sound crazy or impetuous, but I just feel... I feel like I'm really in love, and I feel like I know. Mm. I've been wrong before.
Lisa has advice. Lisa?
Hi, Teresa.
Hi, Lisa.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
But I have...
yeah.
I just don't think it's right because you're going to kill your flame. You're going to kill it all if you guys move in so early.
Hmm. But what if they got married 2 months after they moved in together?
Well, that'd be all great and dandy, but I still don't, I just don't think that you probably have discussed boundaries and you're afraid to even use a restroom.
What are boundaries?
You're moving in, you know, and I don't know, just boundaries, just like discuss how you feel and how he feels.
Well, what about it, Teresa? I mean, do you feel, what good, let me play devil's advocate.
Yeah.
Why move in together at all?
Well, we love being together, and it's very difficult to find time because my schedule's so crazy, and this would make it easy. We love being together. I think we both know that we're going to be together. Mm-hmm. And this is, you know, Halloween. It's a couple months from now. So by then, hopefully, I will have taken one poop in front of him.
Oh, wait a minute. We got to take a break, but let's go out on this one. Heather? Heather?
Yeah?
You moved in and found what at your boyfriend's house?
Well, we moved into our own apartment, and I found a fake vagina.
What? A Merkin? Mm-hmm.
I would argue that's the hair from the fake vagina, which is usually attached by Velcro, at least the place I get mine. First off, let me... here's what I would say if I was confronted with this evidence.
If I said, Adam... What in the world? This looks like a fake vagina.
Mm-hmm. Fake vagina.
Yeah.
Not a real vagina, sweetie. Calm down. But fake vagina. If I had a real vagina in my kid's box on the upper shelf of the entry hall closet, well, that would be a problem, wouldn't it? But this is a fake vagina, a toy vagina. Let me give you an example. If I pulled a real gun, if I pulled out a real .44 and point it at your head, well, that'd be a problem. But what if I pulled out a fake gun? Well, that's just sweet, isn't it? Fake vagina. Now, what's for dinner?
Would that have worked on you, Heather?
Please give me that. Oh, no. Excuse number two. Hey, I've been looking for that. I need a quarter to feed the meter.
Yeah.
Oh, please. You don't think I have sex with that thing?
Oh, it's a coin purse.
Yeah, keep my change in there.
I got it.
Yeah. So it's empty and it smells weird. Hey, I've been looking for it. Heather, deal breaker?
Kind of at the moment. We broke up a couple weeks later, but I was really cool about it, actually, and he was really mean to me.
Why was he mean? What did he do?
He got really offended that I... And it was a total accident that I found it. He had it wrapped up in a T-shirt, and so I was, like, putting laundry away, and I pulled it out. And
he got offended.
Yeah, he got mad at me.
Sir Walter Raleigh.
Well, I mean,
took his top hat and his cane, and he said, good day!
Were you concerned that he preferred the fake vagina over your real vagina?
I don't know. I was just really freaked out. I called my mom. Home.
Oh, how does that go?
My mom's super cool, so she was just like, well, at least he's not, you know, using a real vagina.
Okay, Adam's hold argument. On a second. Hey, listen, kids, I want to talk to my kids right now.
Yeah, your actual kids.
I'm not super cool dad.
Right.
I am borderline uptight.
Right.
I don't want to hear any stories about vaginas. I don't want to hear any stories about, oh, my dad's so cool. We can talk about anything. Kids, if you're listening, here's what we can talk about. Cars.
Right.
Football or me.
Yes, that's it.
That's it. Now, if you want to mix my feelings about cars or football, that's fine. And if you want to talk about me while we're in my car, that's fine. But if you stumble over any fake vaginas... Or you've decided to start experimenting sexually, or you did some experimenting on a kibbutz and you want to fill me in, I don't want to hear it. Unless it's something to do with a car, sports, or me.
Thank you.
We need to take ourselves a break. Bonaducci is over at Nicole Richie's house.
Yeah, he should be getting up to the door by now.
I'm sure he's made his way in by now. We will check in with him next.
This week's employee is the very definition of self-sacrifice. Taking time out of an already busy schedule to give the show 110%. This employee's readiness to put the staff and the show before himself is nothing short of Christ-like. This week's employee of the week is, once again, Adam Carolla.
Yeah.
The only thing Christ-like is how often we resurrect this bit.
In your face, fellow employees. All right, Danny Bonaducci is on his Harley. He's standing in front of the Nicole Richie household over there in Glendale. He's got the paparazzi around him. Danny?
Yes, sir.
How's it going over there?
I'm good. Just taking the joint out.
Mm-hmm. And what do you think?
I'm ready to go wherever you are.
Well, is there a gate? Is there a buzzer? How does this work?
There is a gate and a buzzer.
Mm.
But unlike the Beckham's house and some other places we have been, the gate and the buzzer can't be further than 20 feet from the front door.
Mm.
I'm looking right at the house.
Well, is there any movement in the house? Any lights on? Does it look like people are home?
Well, the pool boy just arrived.
Mm.
Okay. But that might happen when no one's home, right?
Could.
Almost always a good story there, the pool man arrived. And I can spin that any way I want if this bitch doesn't answer the door.
Well, why don't you hit the buzzer and see if anybody answers?
All right. Here we go. Hang on. Get my helmet on there. I don't want to be because some cops keep driving by.
Mm.
All right.
In my helmet, in my helmet phone. You with me?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Okay, here we go.
Start his motorcycle?
Yeah.
I thought he was at the door.
No, I was waiting outside the door.
All right.
Go to this buzzer.
Mm-hmm.
There we go. We're here, buddy. Well, there we go.
All right.
Morning. How you guys doing? Just buzz zero? Oh, it doesn't matter. I'm just buzzing zero.
What did they... Who answered?
What?
Did somebody answer?
Yes.
Oh, okay. You're just hitting the buzzer. Okay.
Hitting the buzzer as we speak. And
right.
So far, we're not getting a lot of response.
Well, most rock and rollers I know are up early doing calisthenics. So I'm...
I think Joel Madden has Pilates at 8.
Maybe it was that he should have stayed with Hillary Duff comment.
Oh, yeah.
I should have stayed with Hillary Duff.
Aren't you still with her in your mind?
I was just last night with her. Thank you. We'll be together again this weekend.
Adam, you're a genius. There's a code button thing just like a telephone right in front of me.
Right.
Why don't you figure out the obvious combination?
Oh, okay.
Pound 6969.
Try it.
Pound 6969. And I'm in. Don't let that go. Because what do you guys have in that basket? Sort of got him in.
What?
I mean, I'm not kidding.
Really?
Yeah.
Who opened the gate?
What happened at the bottom, you guys?
Their code is really pound 6969.
It's got the word pound right in it.
Pound and it says open. I couldn't believe it.
Sometimes they'll use Teresa's birthday, pound 1970. Oh, yeah, 1986.
Thank you.
I'm actually walking to the front door here now. What if there's dogs or something?
Mm-hmm.
Well, then I'll kill them. Okay, never mind.
Yeah, secondhand smoke will take down even the biggest dog. All right, so Danny, walk through the gate. You're walking up the front path, and you're knocking on the front door.
I am indeed.
All right.
Hey, my sunglasses off, so I look more responsible. Like a big Bonaducci baby bundle of basket beauty.
So your helmet's off. They can recognize who you are?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you smoking?
The cops pulled up, and I think, you know, she's pregnant. Be cool.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm just drinking Blue Jack.
Mm-hmm.
So I pull up, the cops pull up,
mm-hmm.
and I figure they're going to yell at the paparazzi, but they look at me, and the paparazzi go, oh, it's Danny Bonaducci. And I go, oh, there's a good move with the cops.
Sure.
And they smiled at me and said, oh, I thought I recognized you, and pulled away. All right, I'm going to knock on the door again.
All right. Oh. Is that a knocker?
Danny Bonaducci.
Whoa.
Score.
He swore.
He's just...
Oh, I did it, didn't I?
You just met Nicole Richie.
With no makeup and a bathrobe and her hair all crazy.
How does she look?
Crazy.
Give her the phone.
What?
Put her on the phone.
Is she standing there?
She opened the door and said, hold on a second.
Oh, my gosh.
She opened the door.
Do you think she recognized you, Bonaducci?
I don't know, because the flash photography went up right behind me, and she didn't look all that pleased.
Oh, no makeup, T.
No, yeah, that would
and
be terrible.
Very cool bathrobe.
Mm-hmm.
What'd it look like?
It's actually a wet man.
Look like she stole it from a hotel.
With a drawstring. All right, so she opened the door.
Yeah.
May have recognized
then
you.
Then I swore.
Yeah. Right?
And she saw the paparazzi and said, I'll be back.
She said, just a second.
She probably wanted to put some makeup on. But you know what? She struck me as a very good sport, and I really liked her on Good Morning America. I have a feeling
exactly
that she'll talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
I have that feeling, too. But this is our first even semi-successful mission.
I know. It made you curse.
Yeah, you went...
I just so wasn't expecting that.
You went to Paris Hilton's place. We didn't get in. We went to the Beckham place. We didn't get in. But the Richie place,
yeah.
Third time's the charm.
Third time is the charm.
Mm-hmm.
I do believe I hear some movement of some kind.
Footsteps?
You don't have to open it far or be seen. That's quite all right. Hi. We just wanted to tell you that we thought you were charming on Good Morning America. Let me just slide this into you. It's from the Adam Carolla Show on 3FM. There you go. I understand absolutely hiding from the photographers. Thank you so much. And good luck and God bless. You're welcome. Now I have seen her hand. It came out like the thing on the Addams Family.
You saw Nicole Richie's hand?
I saw Nicole, and it took the baby.
But it was beautiful.
Hang on, let me check out the paparazzi. You got a picture of that hand? Oh, we got a picture of the hand.
You can see pictures and videotape of Danny delivering the baby basket to Nicole on Flynet. Online.com.
Oh, that's the paparazzi. Flynet,
yeah, online.com.
Ooh.
And you'll see actual video footage.
I'm
of
going there right now.
Hey, Danny.
Yeah?
Nice job.
Wow, good job.
That was cool. And that was cool in the call.
Mission accomplished. So, listen, Danny.
Sir.
Get on that motorcycle. Screw the cops and the paparazzi. Fly like the wind back to the studio. We're going to do a OJ break here, and you'll be back in time for news.
Okay, you know where I am, though, right?
Glendale.
Yeah, Glendale, but I know how you drive.
Right, and I'm on a motorcycle, so even though there will be traffic, it doesn't really include me.
Go like the wind, buddy.
It's the wind, my friend. I will see you very soon.
Thanks, good job. All right, Bonaducci.
Wow.
Striking gold at the Richie house. He actually saw her hand. We will take ourselves. When I get home, when I call my old friends back in Philadelphia... And tell them, you know that guy from the Partridge Family? Mm-hmm. Well, I know that guy. Mm-hmm. And you know that guy from the Commodores? Mm-hmm. Well, he's got a daughter. Uh-huh. And she has a hand. Now sit down. Because that dude saw her hand and told me.
Wow.
Not my neighbor. Not my doctor, not my dad, but me. You understand? I was on the phone. I was standing there on the phone when the guy from the Partridge Family saw the guy's daughter from the Commodore's hand.
Wow. That sounds awesome.
Quick break. Back with the rest of the OJ roundup. He was being interviewed, and we have those clips next.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show with Danny Bonaducci and Teresa Strasser.
A whole lot of people were framed in L.A. to go to jail besides me.
It's time to break down the game film of O.J. Simpson's performance last night in part two of
O.J. Takes the Stand.
Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
All right. The orange juice, Danny Bonaducci, is on his way back from Nicole Richie's place. He's on his hog. He should be here shortly. We'll kill a little time before the news. Talking OJ. He gave a 2- or 3-part interview, T.
Last night was the third part
mm-hmm.
of an online interview with Market News First, MN1.com, which no one had ever heard of previous to this.
Mm-hmm.
But now a lot of people were streaming this interview, and it was very interesting. They did take some live calls. Now, the first night, lots of crank calls got through. That mm-hmm. was spectacular. It slowed down, although last night a prank caller got through with an old but I think still classic joke construct. Let's take a listen to this caller trying to reach OJ.
Good afternoon, OJ. How you doing?
Not too bad. And you?
Oh, I just wanted to tell you, I'm doing all right. I love the book. Great idea. Nah.
Well, don't buy it. Yeah. Hey, don't buy it. I mean, I would tell people don't buy the book.
Ace man, that's good stuff.
No, that's an old joke.
I would have gone with psych.
Yep, that's right, because you're living in the 80s, not yesterday, in the 70s.
Hella cool.
Well, you know, it is what makes our country great. I bet this country does more prank phone calling than any country on the planet. And
yay!
Do you think there's any prank phone calling going on in these terrorist nations?
No, the Taliban is not making prank calls.
Hey, look, Kabul. Hey, do you have Dr. Pepper in the can?
Why would you ask such a stupid question?
You should let him out.
That's a good.
Is your bomb running?
Right. I'd kill you for that.
Well, look, seriously, I know it sounds retarded, but you show me a country that treats their women right, and you show me a country that makes a lot of prank calls,
right,
and I'll show you a country I want to live in.
Peace and prosperity equals excess time and energy for crank calls.
Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you what, warms my heart.
I don't know what you're talking about.
10 years ago, when all the caller ID stuff came out, people said, well, this will be the end of prank phone calling. It's like when the internet came out, they said, well, that's it with newspapers. Or when video cassettes came out, they said, well, they're going to have to tear down all the movie theaters. No one's ever going to another movie. 10 years later, 20 years later, going gangbusters.
That's right.
God bless America.
God bless us. Now, let's just say, speaking of America, let's just say you're one of our American presidential candidates.
Mm-hmm.
And you're thinking, I'm going to stream this OJ interview. And then someone asks, who do you endorse? Now, you have to imagine you're sitting home, you're Barack Obama, you're John Edwards, you're Giuliani.
Hold on. I'm going to call the Chinese food place. That's the terrorist.
Chinese food place.
Oh, hello. Do you have the poo-poo platter?
Of course we have it. That's a ridiculous question.
I have the poo-poo platter. Ahmed, get on speaker. Get on push button for speaker. Yeah, get off jungle gym bars. Come here. Come in. Come in. He has poo-poo platter. There's a poo-poo.
Would you like one?
Yes! Ahmed, are you listening? He asked if I wanted poo-poo! That's it, that's it. It's good. Okay, we'll kill infidel. We'll call back.
So no poo-poo platter.
Now, does Ahmed send 5 extra large pizzas to the infidel who didn't want the pizzas?
Nah, that's Kimmel's move. Right. Yeah, he doesn't want to rip that.
As I was saying, you have to imagine if you're a presidential candidate, you might have been watching this just because it's interesting. And when the question came up of, hey, OJ, who do you support? You were probably crossing your fingers. Please, please let it not be me. Please. I don't want OJ's endorsement.
All right.
Who got it?
Hillary Clinton. I love Bill Clinton. I played golf with Bill Clinton. And despite Monica Lewinsky, who was a neighbor of mine, as a running mate, despite that, it didn't certainly keep Eisenhower, Roosevelt, or Kennedy from being great presidents because of some indiscretion.
He thinks presidents are quarterbacks, and in a sense, aren't they?
I know OJ's dirt poor, and he needs money, and he's struggling. He's probably doing this for the money, but the real money's in extortion. He just calls the Edwards camp, calls the Clinton camp, calls everyone who's running, Giuliani, everyone, and says, I will endorse your ass unless I see $100,000 in crisp bills. You understand?
Because I feel a lot like I love some Giuliani unless I get some cash.
And when he's done with that phone call, he picks up the phone and he calls the headquarters of Pepsi's and he says, you know what? It's hot. And I'm thirsty.
In every
photograph.
And
I'm thinking about playing some golf. And there's always some folks waiting to take a picture of me. And there's nothing I'd like more than a nice cold Pepsi on a hot Florida day when I'm shooting golf.
Well, I don't know if he likes Pepsi, but some people think he likes Coke. And I mean cocaine. He was asked about that by another caller.
Hi, OJ. I was just wondering, how heavy was your cocaine usage? What would you consider your average usage would be a day? And do you consider yourself completely rehabilitated?
Not rehabilitated at all, because I never had a drug problem or cocaine problem. Let me tell you something. Just look at the record. You hear that tape, that 911 tape with Nicole. What was I yelling about on that tape? Hookers and drugs. I don't want these people around my kids. More recently, with a girl I was dating in more recent years. What was I yelling about? Every time you see me in these blow-ups, I'm always yelling about people around me doing drugs.
It's like that Burl Ives song.
Which one?
Hookers and drugs. Hookers and drugs. You know, the old Christmas cartoon.
I hear it all the time on Jack FM.
Mm-hmm.
It's in heavy rotation.
Mm-hmm.
Well, who
look
was
at the record? Oh, gee, you better hope we don't look too closely at that record.
Yeah. Is this it? Burl Ives?
It's a holly jolly Christmas. Oh. Burl Ives, though.
No, it's good. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this will be a happy tune to lead into a little story about double homicide. Remember Cato Kaelin?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember? I had forgotten, but apparently OJ contended that Cato and Nicole were arch enemies.
Mm-hmm.
And he tries to go into that and make some insinuations. Let's hear OJ on Market News First from last night.
And he would say to me, why does Nicole hate me so? I kind of mentioned this on a show once. And then I saw him on a show right after that when they asked him about it, and he denied it. And I'm saying, wait a minute, you can ask Nicole's mother. You can ask Denise Brown. You can even ask Faye Resnick. I mean, nobody would tell you that Nicole didn't hate Cato Kaelin.
Right, but they didn't.
And she was the guy that she wanted out of my house and out of our lives more than anybody at the time of her death, unjustly so. So I thought Nicole was wrong in her feelings, and I told him that. But outside of that, I always thought Cato was a pretty good guy.
Yeah. He was on this radio station for a while.
A DJ?
Yes.
But I thought you said only the smartest and best go into radio.
Somehow he slipped by the very, very fine filter that is radio programming.
Wow, you mean program director Jack Silver missed the mark on that?
I love to make fun of Jack about that. He always says that was before his time. He better hope
That's
I don't look into
fault.
That. Yeah.
Yes, we mock him, but he's not that. Not so bad.
No, you know I'll slip through the filter over here?
Who?
Cindy from the Brady Bunch.
What?
Yes.
She had her own show.
Oh, yes, she did. And so did the so did the Nasty Man. So did Mother Love. Oh.
Now, Brian is playing Heidi and Frosty and Frank, but I happen to be a fan of theirs.
I am as well.
It's
just a generic
them.
Laugh.
But I only like one of them, and I won't say which one.
I like them all.
Oh, my God. Someone should run down the roster of this radio station one day. It is... Yeah, it's like somebody just taped a phone book to a goddamn wheel and spun it around and whatever it stopped on.
Well,
the
nice
Grease
one.
Man, the Nasty Man, everyone that had the name Man at the end of their horrible
Adam, this is radio
moniker was hired at this station.
It'll be nice when Tawny Katane is doing the news next week.
Your mouth to God's ears. Tawny, what's in the news? I smack my husband. Tawny, what's going on in the Middle East? I went over there and punched it down. Tawny, what's happening in the world of sports? I have to release pitcher, I think, on the hood of a Jag. Tawny, what's going on in world events? I don't know, one of the guys from White Line or Great White or White Stripes. I think I was with all of them. Tawny, you're wearing a mini dress and pumps, and you're 50 years old, and you smell like scotch. Yeah, you want some Corolla? All right, Bonaducci, you're on the way to Tawny Katane's house. You're going to check in with us. You're bringing a basket of methadone over to Katane's house. Bonaducci's going to be back in the studio. I got my new partner, the Grease Man. Smacky, smacky. We'll be back the rest of the morning, too. Tawny Katane. What's going on in entertainment news? I'm high as a kite, deal we? All right, thank you for that news flash. We got a 10-minute commercial from Larry the Bedspread King. We'll be doing that. We'll be back with more of the Grease Man, the Nasty Man, and the Ace Man next on the Adam Carolla Show.
It's me, the Nasty Man, the Bald Man with the Tan.
Still ahead of six, Pigeons on the Pill. We'll explain.
That's a great moment in local news. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
All right, Bonaducci on his way back. He's on his motorcycle. He's cutting through traffic. He'll be here momentarily. We'll kill a little time with the news, T.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
Here's some interesting information in light of Bonaducci's visit to Nicole Richie's house. Perez Hilton is reporting that though she has until the end of September to begin serving her four-day prison sentence for DUI, sources are saying that she intends to begin her stint in jail this weekend, which could mean that as early as today, she is going into prison. So, Danny Bonaducci could have interrupted her sleep schedule and gotten her all off. She's trying to go in now, get it over with, serve her 4 days and be done with it.
Yeah, look, here's prison and life in general, whether it's prison or cancer or whatever the hell it is in life, there's two sentences. There's the one where you're going to die or the one where you're going to go to prison, and then the one where you get to think about it for a few months before it happens. I would rather just go to prison the day I found out I had to go to prison
because
the clock starts ticking on the sort of crap clock the second you find out you're going to prison.
The crap clock ticks when you have anything like...
The crap clock stops for no man.
It doesn't.
T.
I know. If there's something you're nervous or anxious about or you have to get a shot or a pap smear...
When I have to get my pap smear, I'm thinking about it weeks in advance.
Right.
The crap clock, one of Poe's greatest poems.
Yeah.
By the way, some of his greatest work.
Yeah,
TikTok goes to crap clock. TikTok, crap clock.
Nevermore.
That's right.
Nevermore.
The banging on the floorboards. It was the crap clock. Ticking. All right, so the point is instead of be tortured for 2 months and then go serve your 4 days,
right,
which is the same as serving 2 weeks because you've been thinking about it the whole time, just go get it out of the way. I agree.
Yes, thinking about something crappy is just almost as bad as it happening.
Crap clock ticking. I have a digital crap clock now, though.
Now I have a biological clock and a crap clock.
You know what I'm going to yell at my son as soon as he can, both my kids.
What?
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to yell, son, you can't hit the snooze bar on the crap clock. All right,
I'm trying to sync my biological and crap clocks just so they're together. Now, Nicole Richie was on Good Morning America again today because this is too important to leave to 1 day on GMA.
Sure.
It's got to be 2 days, and then also I think it's going to be on 2020 or one of those evening news programs.
Of course.
Diane Sawyer
talked
to her.
She was on a cable show.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think she did something else. Can't remember what. That's right. So they had a discussion about her eating disorder.
Do you have an eating disorder?
No, I do not have an eating disorder. I've never had an eating disorder. Ever. It's anxiety, it's stress, it's just not being careful.
But was that drug related?
I think that it possibly could have played a part.
Diane decides to answer the question. But was that drug related? Some of it. She answered a question before Nicole.
Someone so underweight, but it's neither an eating disorder nor a drug problem?
No.
What else is it?
Well, you know, for a lot of people, movement just burns calories. Yeah, and she was formerly chubby her whole life. So how did that happen? Like, it's one thing if you're just a thin person.
Yeah.
Maybe Cameron Diaz is just a thin person, and for the last 10 years she's been thin. But when you were chubby, how's it you got chubby if you don't put weight on?
Nicole Richie claims that the first time she went to rehab for heroin, back then she was thin. Then when she got out and stopped shooting up, she got fat, and that's when the public got to know her. Then she got thin again, and she maintains that that's her default weight. I don't know. We never saw her before.
All right.
Well, what's going to happen now that she's 4 months pregnant? How is that going to affect her eating?
Do I eat is kind of an understatement. I eat all the time, especially now. I'm constantly hungry. I'm eating at least every hour. Just like any mother, you know, you want to take the best care of yourself, especially while you're pregnant. And I'm definitely eating healthier now, and I'm doing everything really playing by the rules. Like, I do not drink caffeine at all, cut out sushi, and I've really been playing by the rules. No alcohol, no marijuana, no pills, nothing.
What's wrong with a little spleef?
I guess it's not that good for the baby.
Baby likes mellow mama. Staring at the cramp clock.
That's right. Her buzz is going to be killed for a few more months while she awaits to have a healthy baby, which we, of course, hope she has. Marilyn Manson. I don't know if you've heard anything about him, but I guess some people think he's a bit odd.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, he was sued by his former keyboardist, Stephen Beyer. B-I-E-R. Maybe it's beer. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
The reason he was sued is for taking money that was supposed to be split by the band and using it for himself. Now, according to this lawsuit, Manson spent the band's money on, you know, some normal rock star stuff. A multi-million dollar home, a lavish wedding in Ireland to his then-wife Dita Von Teese, which was back in 2005. A $150,000 engagement ring, also for Dita. And then also for other rock star stuff like cocaine and Vicodin and $3,000 a day rehab stays.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's the weird stuff.
Mm.
I don't know if you've heard that Marilyn Manson collects some unusual artifacts.
Mm.
According to this lawsuit, here are some of the things he spent the band's money buying. He has some Nazi artifacts like SS typewriters, swastika wall tiles, and a handbag that once belonged to...
SS typewriters?
Yeah.
They have two S's where the S is. That's the only thing that's different than them.
I think they're the Gestapo, SS Gestapo typewriters.
Great for writing the word kiss.
Definitely not a Jew.
Gestapo typewriters.
He also bought a handbag that once belonged to Eva Braun, Hitler's lady friend.
Uh-huh.
Now, he was also a fan of taxidermy, and in his collection, which is displayed at his mansion, he has a stuffed California grizzly and two baboons. Here's where it gets weird.
What?
Plus, the full skeleton of a 17th century male in a wheelchair.
Mm-hmm.
As if that's not weird enough, he also has the full skeleton of a four-year-old Chinese girl, and there are African masks made of human skin. He's being sued for $20 million for breach of contract.
Be honest, T.
Yeah.
Remember we had that caller earlier?
Yeah.
Moved in with her boyfriend?
Fake vagina
wrapped up in a t-shirt.
Yeah.
What's worse? Chinese skeleton on the lark? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You got a guy who's been dead for 300 years. He's standing there holding a stroke cane, or you find the fake vagina in the hamper.
I actually am kind of fascinated by
the macabre
grizzly. Yeah. I don't mind this. I mean, as long as, you know, she died of natural causes.
Yeah, he didn't kill her.
Yeah,
what is with the Jews?
No, he's trying to kill that fake vagina every weekend.
The Gestapo stuff would probably turn me off.
Deal breaker. Yeah.
A little bit of it. Hard to explain to grandma.
Marilyn Manson we may not be hearing a lot from him in the future, creatively. No. Because I don't know that he ever really had any more than a sort of, there was a novelty to his act.
Yeah.
You know, Dave Grohl goes from drumming for Nirvana to leading the Foo Fighters. I suspect we'll hear from him.
Sure.
I don't think we'll hear much from Marilyn Manson. And plus, that guy drinks that absinthe stuff.
Right.
That crazy elixir that's illegal here and it's from Europe. He gave me some of that stuff once. You will get out of your gourd.
Adam, I'm sorry, but I have to stop you. Mm-hmm. I looked over, and I thought I was having some sort of acid trip because there are a couple of little people with green curly wigs and red wine. Do you see those people?
No.
Oh, no. What are they
doing?
Last
time about absinthe, then you saw...
Yes.
You saw the latest members of the street team?
Know what's happening. They must be doing some sort of promotion.
All right.
Okay, I'm sorry about that. Wow. One talk about absinthe, and all of a sudden I'm seeing little people in green wigs. They were really there, Brian. Tell me they were really there.
He brought me a bottle of that stuff once, and then he drank the whole thing.
He brought it for you, and he drank it?
Yeah.
Well, now he's with that Evan Rachel Wood girl.
Mm-hmm.
She's an actress. She's very young. Anyway, in closing, at the box office this weekend, The Bourne Ultimatum, Underdog, a live-action version of the cartoon. I know. This is like a flashback to when I accidentally took some LSD.
Oh, that's right. You went to a Dead concert in Pittsburgh when you were 15 and you dropped some acid.
Total accident. You could also drop some acid and see Hot Rod with Andy Samberg or Bratz, a movie about the toy and merchandise line. And if none of those interest you, what about J-Lo's new movie, El Cantante? Or maybe it's El Cantante.
It's Cantante.
El Cantante.
That's how they pronounce it over there?
I think that's how they say it, although I'm unclear. But it seems like it should be El Cantante.
Yeah. She seems like a El Cantante to me. I bet everyone who works for her knows her's El Cantante.
I'm El Strasser. Ooh. That's the news.
Tomorrow's news. Today. Teresa Strasser. Do you, CNN?
All right. When we come back, Bonaducci is on his way. Should be here momentarily. Yeah. We got a little something coming up called This Week in Rage. Mm. We've taken my five rants from the past week, all the things I've been complaining about. Can't remember all of them. We always have too many, but I think I chose five. Maybe the stickers on the fruit, maybe something with traffic. I will refresh myself. Folks have been voting on them at adamcarolla.com, and I will deliver you all of those in the form of a rant with a winner declared as well. Yes, Brian?
Do you want to know the five topics?
Yeah, what are they?
They are Adam's old shop teacher, Mr. Mallon, the guy who turns left while the signal is yellow but waits till the last possible second so no one else can go behind. News stories about coffee being too expensive.
I'm angry.
People who wear boxers instead of boxer
briefs.
Are
you trying to piss me off, son?
Inconsistent rules about when and where you can gamble.
All right. All those rants in the Week of Rage next.
Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show. It's Friday, so it's time to count down the top five things that made Adam mad this week. We call it This Week in Rage. Here's Adam.
I'm on my feet, T.
All right.
I'm standing up. I've cracked my knuckles, and I'm doing that head thing where I spin around like I'm about ready to step into a boxing ring. All right, Bonaducci on his way back. Probably hit a little traffic, but he's on his bike, so he should be parting that like the Red Sea.
Sometimes he hits a little Starbucks.
Oh, no. He's on his way back here. Although, Danny, if you're listening, you are stopping. Get me something.
Americano.
All right, so he'll be here any minute. We will push forward with a new bit called This Week in Rage. Now, the way this goes is we narrow down my hundreds of rants from the week to the two, five. We put them on the website. You vote on them, and you choose them 5-1, number one being the one you wanted to hear the most. I'll give 30 seconds.
To each of the five?
To each one, but we'll give 1 minute to the big one. All right. Let's get started. The guys who wear boxers. I wore the ball nuggers. I was a nerd, and all the cool guys wore the boxers. Oh, look, it's hanging out of his cutoffs. The guy that pulled the double bang on the boxers, it's hanging out over the waistline and down below the thigh, too. He has boxers exposed toward the ground and toward the heavens. So I got out, and I got myself some boxers. Of course, generic stuff from JCPenney, because my parents are so goddamn cheap they wouldn't do it. And the fly's always open, and the penis is hanging out, and the thing's wedged up my ass, and now I'm walking sideways because of these boxers. Next one. Stories about coffee. Hey, stop the presses, everybody. Somebody wants $3 for a cup of coffee. Guess what, all you news tards? Gas used to be a nickel a gallon. Now it's $3 a gallon. Coffee used to be a nickel a cup. Now it's $3 a cup. Do I need to continue with houses, cars, and every other thing? This is not a story. I would like to do that move they did in A History of Violence. Smack the pot right on the face of the newscaster. Dump the scalding stuff in his face. What's next? Guy who is turning left when the signal is yellow, but he only leaves enough room for him to go. So, This is a guy who turns left, but he doesn't go into the intersection. He holds back. He stays behind the crosswalk. Then when the signal turns yellow, he quickly turns, but you can't turn because he didn't take his pussy ass out into the intersection so both of you could turn when it cycles. Oh, I wish I had a turret on my car with a 50 caliber machine gun just to go ahead and pump spent uranium into the back of that puss. Not that he hasn't had other things pumped into his backside. Inconsistent rules about where and when you can gamble. Gambling on football is illegal in the state of California. Playing blackjack, illegal. But you can bet on horses. You just can't bet on dogs. You see, it's a totally different game. One has four legs and runs in a circle. And the other, what? And here's the thing, too. Lottery is legalized gambling for retarded people. It's like if you owned a casino and you said, everyone show up, give all your money. Now we're going to take half of it and give it to the schools. You guys can win the rest. And just let me, hold on a second. I'm angry. Everyone ask yourself, everyone who lives in Southern California, you ask yourself, school systems, better or worse before the lottery? All the money's going to the kids. The kids. We have to save the kids. I don't know when the lottery came about. Somewhere in the early 80s, maybe the late 70s. School systems. Unusable now versus usable before the lottery. Do the lottery math. And you tell me how much it's helping the schools. You see that nobody graduates. 50% of the people drop out. I'm sorry, I'm pissed. I had to go off on that lottery for a second.
This is your last one. You've got an extra minute for this.
This is number one?
Yeah.
Oh, my old shop teacher, Mr. Mallon.
Ah.
Oh, God, did I hate this old coot. This guy made me so miserable, I actually I transferred out of a plastics class to get away from that old F. I hope he's dead. I hope he can't hear this. I hope someone puts a speaker on the ground and pumps it into his grave. This guy hated kids. He loved plastic, but he hated kids. I didn't learn anything in junior high. The only thing I learned is that I hated Mr. Mallon. That's the only thing I remember from junior high. This guy was 4 foot tall and all prick. What a dick. And he did the ultimate thing that guys do, which is horrible. He's a short little guy who could bully around 13-year-olds because every adult would have told him to F off in a second. These guys are miserable, and they take it out on their kids. Mr. Mallon, if you're listening, I'd like to dance a jig on your grave.
Cathartic?
Oh, what an ass. And look, everyone wants to do that thing where it's like, guys, an old man, leave him alone. Screw you. You were an ass. Everyone I knew right. Who had you thought you were an ass. Everyone hated all those shop teachers. They're all just dicky guys. And here's the deal. No, I'm sorry. All you guys, all you old coots now.
Right.
It was cool because you could boss around 13-year-olds because even though you were poor midgets, you could still beat up 13-year-olds and you would threaten them. Well, now I could kick your ass and it's my turn. That's my whole thing.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing. Mr. Gage, Mr. Mallon, Mr. Mendez, Mr. Martin, Mr. Hensley, Mr. Saponzi, Mr. Walters. You want some? I'll crack your old ass like kindling and kick your ass right to the curb, you old farts.
Yeah. No problem with
yeah,
it.
Yeah. You see how it feels now? Now there's someone who can kick your ass and they're being a dick. Feels good.
Well, Mr. Mallon, wherever you are.
No, I pray it's in plastic hell. I really do.
Is there any other kind of place?
Look, he made everyone miserable for 40 years and then he retired. I really hope he's just in plastic hell. I told you, the only girl liked me in my high school was his daughter, Stacy, and I wouldn't even date her because I had a bad taste in my mouth from that midget who was drunk with power.
Well, let me ask you this. In Mr. Mallon's version of hell, is there a little water fountain, and it's so hot, but he can't drink from it.
He had a drinking fountain in his class. He wouldn't let anyone use it. He was such a prick. Please. I hope he's dead. All right, good times. Let's take a break. The Dooch Man will be here, and he'll get us caught up on his travels when we come back.
Yesterday on the Adam Carolla Show, we had an exclusive interview with Nicole Richie's fetus.
Thank you for this exclusive interview.
Yeah.
Are you looking forward? Are you excited to be born?
No. My mom is sleazy like Sunday morning.
Heineken.
Nice. Hey, wait a minute. We need you to do a live read for Heineken.
There's nothing that goes better with Vicodin than Heineken.
Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser on the Adam Carolla Show.
Danny's off his bike. He's back in the studio. He's fresh off his triumphant appearance
at Nicole
Richie's place. Yeah, one for three.
But it was an impressive one, though.
I'm now going, I'm torn. Hold on 1 second, Danny. Darren?
Yes.
You attended Mr. Mallon's class at North Walter Reed Junior High?
Yeah, and I had a plastic project. It was a sculpture, and it had a little metal base that attached the sculpture to the wooden stand. Mm-hmm. And one of the kids in the class actually used the white buffing wheel to buff the metal, and it turned the buffing wheel completely black. So Mr. Mallon made us all sit for 14 straight days, 1 hour at a time, until the person who did it fessed up.
All right, so he was a world-class dick, yeah. Right?
Absolutely.
All right, thank you. I just wanted my confirmation. Joel?
Hey, I had Mr. Mallon when I was about 13 years old over in Wall Street. Everybody hated him.
Good, he was a dick. Listen, people
is this
are
what
like,
I missed?
Yes, I was yelling at Mr. Mallon for 2 hours. Old fart. Hope he's dead. All right. Sorry, Dan. I just wanted to get some confirmation.
May I ask Danny, since he was just face-to-face with Nicole Richie,
Yes. How
did she look in person?
Like a woman who just got out of bed. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, just. Because I knocked on the door, rang the doorbell, and nothing, and I was thinking about leaving. And then I noticed they had one of those big brass
knockers.
I heard that one, yeah.
So I pounded on that a few times and was just kind of mugging for you guys, wasting time. And then the door opened fully. And there was Nicole Richie with her hair askew and a bathrobe that looks like you'd wear in a spa or stole from a hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, and then flashbulbs went off, and she went, oh, my God, and she closed the door. And no, I think I said, I'm Danny Bonaducci from the Adam Carolla Show or something
yes,
like that.
Yes, you did.
And she said, just wait here, and closed the door. And there was something about it that made me think she was actually going to come back, partly because of what a good sport she has been on some shows I've seen lately. And sure enough, she came back and cracked the door the tiniest bit. And I said, because now I was feeling bad. We'd done what goes best with Vicodin is Hikodin. And, I don't know, this girl's playing along. And I said, you don't have to open the door enough to be seen. Just put your hand out. We at the Adam Carolla Show wanted you to have this.
Mm-hmm.
So then I kind of gave it to her legitimately as a gift. I hope there wasn't crap in it, you funny people.
Angie got her a really nice baby gift.
Enough stuff. We got a little blanket.
Put Angie on it so it's not messed up.
Blanket's infected with smallpox, but it's still a baby blanket.
Drunk. I'm drunk.
Says 97.1 Free FM across that blanket.
Yes, and so mission accomplished.
Mission accomplished. I was very impressed. But I was so shocked that I cursed, and that's one of 3 times in 16 years, I think.
What were the other two?
The other one was on purpose that I can think of offhand. When Def Frat Guy was bugging me, I got the dump guys know that I really want to scare him. And if he doesn't know I'm going to curse and I curse on the radio, he'll think I've lost my mind.
Yeah, I remember that. I heard you talk about it.
So even that doesn't really count because it was calculated.
Right.
What's the first one?
I was really high in Philadelphia. And I think we were actually playing a Paula Abdul song, the one where she dances with that cat.
Mm-hmm.
Opposites attract.
And I said,
so
just
sad
casually
that we all know that.
To the girl standing next to me, I said, this song effing sucks, but I failed to turn off the microphones.
It is bizarre that you can spend half your life on the radio not swearing, and then it happened to me on Loveline once or twice in over 10 years, but just once in a while, something would just come flying
out.
Yeah.
You just get lost in the moment.
Yeah,
you don't realize how much you cuss normally, and you don't realize how unnatural it is to get yourself worked up and not cuss.
I know.
Yeah, when I'm ready to go, because there's nothing that says F you like
F you.
Like, really seriously, that word rocks. That's a good word.
I love it.
It really expresses how you feel.
It's our N-word.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And like really lets you know it cuts through any facade at all.
Yeah.
Especially if it's preceded by hey.
Hey.
Because if that gets your attention, you're like, hey. You.
How about is F you more
did
effective
you say
than
is? Are you catching Corolla?
You're doing what I do.
You two made up.
I'm gonna have to add a third is.
Is F you more effective than F off?
By far.
Okay.
F off is dismissive. F you is almost threatening.
Yeah, F off, you would say to anyone, F you has to do with you. Hey, I'll tell you what the most effective swearing is. It was like when there were all those tapes of Richard Nixon swearing. It was that much more amusing. My dad doesn't swear. Not because he's religious or doesn't believe in it, but it's a form of communication and he doesn't believe in it.
Right,
even telling someone F off, well, you're still giving someone a directive.
Right. Yeah.
And my dad doesn't talk. thus, he doesn't swear. He doesn't anything. He doesn't use connecting words either. He just doesn't talk. One time, we're driving in his piece of S VW way back in the day, and I don't know what went wrong in his life, perhaps everything. He yelled, "Sea sucker."
What?
In the car.
In the car. And he didn't say "sea."
At another driver.
No.
Are you positive he wasn't describing his outfit that he was wearing, seersucker?
No.
Was it summer?
He was a traveling salesman. He yelled seersucker in the car. It may have been when I dropped his trumpet mouthpiece out the window of the moving car because I was trying to get it to make a trumpet sound by holding it out the window going 35, and I dropped it, and my dad was so cheap, we went and retrieved it and had a big scuff mark in it, and he played his trumpet with the big scuff mark in the mouthpiece for the next 50 years. But sea sucker came flying out of his mouth, and I remember, like, wow. Now, if he'd been using sea sucker since I was an infant, then it would have been no big deal. Mm-hmm. So the thing about swearing is it's good, but you become the boy who cried sea sucker if you use it too often.
Right.
Save it. And then have it come sailing out of your mouth. It has great effect.
Obviously, it had an impact, for sure.
It's the only piece of advice he ever gave me.
You mean he used it as an excuse for what you should do with the rest of your life?
Right. I thought it was a call to action. I didn't know. Right. Immediately, my head flew down toward his lap. He yelled, "Not you, son."
Right.
Then we went into a drainage ditch. And that's when I lost it.
A semi-similar moment with the paparazzi. Mm. Oh, I'm following them, right? But they're for some reason taking a lot of pictures of me and hanging out their car window with the camera and stuff, and I'm starting to think about what I'm doing, and that I don't know, I just got a kind of a weird feeling, so I just hit the gas, drove up, grabbed his camera right out of his hand at like 60 miles an hour, said, "Hi, my name is Dave Bonici,
video camera.
This is what it's like to be followed by the paparazzi," and I turned it backwards and just tried to outrun him.
Well, hopefully that'll be on the website?
I put a link on ours.
Ah, adamcarolla.com.
Yeah.
Good. So you can
FL, I don't know.
Fly something. Like, listen, screw them. Go to our website and watch
it. Over because it should be fun. And one of the still photographers did actually get Nicole. I didn't think anybody got her because she opened the door and closed the door so fast. But the black dude that was telling me, "Hey, we'll do this and we'll do that," actually got her.
Flynetonline.com. We'll take a quick break. Be right back to wrap it up. Where to give thanks? First, a thanks to Bonaducci for hopping on the hog and doing the Lord's work.
Anytime, buddy.
At the Ritchie House. You can check out pictures of that on adamcarolla.com or on flynetonline.com. Also, Teresa Strasser. Find out. I know she sounds beautiful, but wait till you see her. TV Water Cooler tonight, 8 p.m. on the TV Guide channel. And until next time, it's Adam Carolla saying mahalo. Damn, Ace, man, you were good at football in high school.
If I can just not be annoying, that's good enough.
Son, you can't hit the snooze bar on the crap clock. Oh, I had sex with a moccasin. I had sex with a cassava melon. I had sex with a dustbuster. Hey, lard ass, I can barely get an erection around you anymore.
Do these jeans make my ass look fat?
Wow, my girlfriend's got a little odor down there. I'll crack your old ass like kindling and kick your ass right to the curb, you old farts.